Ryan Noonan is playing on the radio, baby.
What do you do?
I'm a communicator.
It must be a new kind of thing.
I want to thank Ryan Noonan for going on.
Holy s***! Ryan's back!
Well!
Glad you're with us, Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Why isn't that turning off? There we go. Oh, what a way to start the show, because that was operator error. And I haven't even been drinking like Domati and Amy. No excuse here. All right, we are glad you are with us. Big show planned. Always more fun when you get involved. 312-981-7200. That is the phone. That is the fax. When you call in, you'll be talking to Dangerous Dan Long, the man who works pretty much nonstop. I think he has a cot in the back. It's always good to see Dan. If you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it's going to work. As always, if you want to stay up to date with us on social media, it's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. We are going to talk in just a few minutes to Heather McKenzie. She's the chief content officer for Best Reviews. You know, Black Friday is coming. Cyber Monday is coming. The holidays are coming. Your children, grandchildren, friends, nieces, nephews will be clamoring for toys. What are going to be the hot toys that you need to get very soon, because they will sell out? And then your children will weep bitter tears, and the whole holiday will be ruined. Heather will let us know about that. We are also going to talk about public proposals. A guy made news because of his public proposal, and I want to get your proposal stories. If you've what experts are saying about public proposals and your thoughts, we'll talk about that. Rolling Stones made a big announcement today. And at 3 o'clock, I saw this today, and I don't usually do lists because I just don't. But there was a list today about the 100 movies that every person must see in their lifetime. And as I looked just at the top five, I was like, yeah, these are all you have to see those. So we'll do that, and then we're going to go low-tech. Why your child should have a flip phone instead of a smartphone. And that's Dan, that's what we have on paper. Now, is that what we're going to deliver?
Who knows?
Who knows? But I just like everybody to know that we've planned this out. Because sometimes it sounds a little haphazard. People go, what, do you just go in and just start talking? Yeah, that's what I do. I just go in and start talking for 4 hours. No plan. It's just my insanity pouring out of my head. But that's not the case. A horrible day in Chicago, or as unfortunately it's becoming just another day in America. Three killed in a shooting today at Mercy Hospital. Among them, a police officer who was the second police officer killed in the line of duty this year. It is Officer Jimenez is passed on, along with a doctor and a pharmacy technician. Shooting in Denver tonight. It just goes on and on. And, you know, we pay attention. We pay attention when it happens in other cities, and we think, oh, boy, that's horrible. Maybe we should send some thoughts and prayers. Yeah, all right. Then it happens here. And and you know it's going to happen here. You know it's going to happen in your community. It's just a matter of time. And I don't say that to be melodramatic. I don't say that to get people all worked up into a frenzy. It just seems like that's the way things are going, you know. So you heard, you've been following it all day, and the news team here at WGN has done a wonderful job covering it. Nothing new will come out tonight, but Vic is on the case. So Vic is in the newsroom. If anything does break, of course, Vic will jump on, right? Once the press conference was over this evening at Mercy Hospital, we pretty much can safely guess that we're done for the night with any more news coming out of Mercy Hospital, right, Vic?
I think that's a safe assumption, yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, ongoing investigation, obviously, but yeah, I don't think we'll hear anything this overnight hours.
No. So it's just horrible. It's I don't know. Officer Samuel Jimenez, as we said, 28 years old, married, small children at home, just came off probation. had a whole career ahead of him, and now it's cut short by some lunatic who had a domestic beef. So yeah, that makes sense. You got a broken engagement. You might as well go shoot a bunch of people. Unbelievable. So that's what happened today, and we've been hearing about it all afternoon. I'm not gonna do the thoughts and prayers things. I'm tired of it. It sounds empty now because we have to do it every week. So every week we're sending thoughts and prayers somewhere. Of course, my heart aches for the victims. It's horrible, you know. Police officers are at a different level because every day they bravely put on that uniform and put themselves in harm's way. And it's a job most of us would never want to do. And they know every day when they go to work that there's a chance, very slim, hopefully, but a chance nonetheless that something terrible like this can happen. And that doesn't minimize the tragedy at all. It's horrible. But then there's people that never, you know, you take a job, you never in a million years think that you're going to be a victim of gun violence. Or you didn't used to think that you had the potential of being a victim of gun violence. And now it doesn't matter. School teacher, pharmacy technician, person just going to a service at a house of worship. It can be anybody. And it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, we can argue about guns all day. We can argue about mental health all day. But in the end, really, nothing's getting done. And it's becoming more and more common. And we have these conversations now every week, every other week. And now it's come to our backyard. And it makes it that much more harrowing, that much more terrifying, because it really hammers home the point that it can happen anywhere. So, you know, we all just have to... I don't know what we have to do, Dan, quite frankly. I wish I had the answers. Because then who knows where I'd be? I'd be the king or something. I'd be an emperor. I'd be leading the free world. I don't have the answers. I know that anytime I leave the house, or my wife leaves the house, and our daughter is in another city, you know, you worry. And you didn't used to worry all the time. I mean, you had concerns, but it wasn't a constant state of dread, which, you know, while we can still function and we still go on about our business, we're not curled up in a fetal position in the house. There's always something in your head now, no matter where you go. It doesn't matter. Every time I have to double scan the key cards to get on the elevators here, I know why I have to do that. Every time I have to go into a classroom and, you know, I get the email in the morning, hey, we're doing a lockdown drill, which is the nice way of saying active shooter drill, because you can't tell a six-year-old, hey, we're doing an active shooter drill. You know, because somebody could come in and try to kill us all. You soften the blow a little bit. This is all just, it's par for the course now. That's just how we do it. That's just how we live, everywhere you go. I don't know if you do this now. I never used to pay attention to the exits. You know, they'd make that announcement at the beginning of the movie, and it used to just be in case there was a fire. Well, now it's in case who knows what could happen. But now I'm looking anyway. I'm always paying attention. I'm looking at if I go to a sporting event, if I go to the theater. I don't dwell on it all day, but I'm looking, trying to see what's up. Do you pay attention to that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think there's always a grain of that in the back of your head. I think just try to be aware of your surroundings. And then it feels like as soon as you kind of get complacent, something else happens, and it's back in the news, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
I got to still keep my head on a swivel.
Right. And unfortunately, I think we have to do that all the time. All right, so not much more to be said about the horrible events of the day, except that, you know, my heart does go out to the victims and their families, especially, you know, the families of these people who sent their loved ones to work today, and that was it. And you know, we've all had that moment where you're in an argument with somebody and you just leave for work and you figure, well, we'll settle it when we come home. Sometimes you don't get to come home. All right, we're going to lighten things up a little bit because, wow, that first 15, Dan, we're coming out heavy. I feel the weight of the world on us. So let's talk about toys, the hottest holiday toys. We will talk to Heather McKenzie from Best Reviews, find out what you need to be shopping for right now so you do not disappoint those children on your list. We'll do that after this. It's Brian Noonan in for Nick on 720 WGN. All right, the holidays are upon us. This weekend, people are going to be storming the malls. They're going to be flooding online retailers. Everybody trying to figure out what toys they should get their children. You know, kids make their list for Santa. They tell their grandparents. They tell everybody, this is what I want for Christmas. And sometimes you don't know, and things are sold out. Well, to give us a preview of some of this year's hottest toys, Heather McKenzie joins us. She is the Chief Content Officer for Best Reviews. BestReviews.com is the website where you can find reviews on all sorts of products. Heather, thanks for staying up late. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Okay, for people who aren't familiar with Best Reviews, tell us a little bit about the site and how you guys come to create your lists and how you create your reviews.
Sure, no problem. So we are an independent review site. We completely editorially review all the products. We purchase them with our own money. And we provide unbiased reviews that people can trust. So what that basically means is you come to our site, we tell you a couple choices of some of the top products in a certain category, and you click through, and if you happen to make a purchase, that's the only way we earn money. So we're not earning any money from manufacturers, and we're providing you a service, basically, that is you can trust but completely editorially sound.
Very nice. So what's the backgrounds of the reviewers? Where did they come from? All different jobs and all different things? Who are the people that are doing these unbiased reviews?
Sure. So the way I source my team, and I lead all of the editorial, is I look for people who have experience with product reviews in prior work. They are writers, they're journalists. A lot of them have category expertise, so the people reviewing, say, car tires are really well-versed in auto. The people, likewise, reviewing toys are experts in that category as well. So we look for people who know what they're talking about, have experience with those products, and can intelligently tell the consumer all about them.
Ah, very nice. All right, so as I'm looking at the site where, you can go, as I mentioned, if you go to bestreviews.com, just you go to the top, best gifts for under $100, tips for a vegan Thanksgiving, Black Friday deals from Walmart. But what we are, what we're worried about now is toys, because every year there seems to be one or two really hot toys, and parents either it's not on their radar or the kids haven't mentioned it, and then it's the second week of December, and the holidays are on you, and you can't find these toys anywhere. So you guys put this list out a few weeks ago, which is great to give people a heads up. Let's start with the top of the list, because there's some toys that I have heard of, and now my daughter's grown, so I'm not in the toy market anymore. Thankfully, because I remember those days at Toys R Us before you were buying everything online.
Right.
Ooh, it could get crazy. So there's some classics on here, but there's some new ones too. One of the classics, this Lego Advent Calendar.
So Lego Advent Calendars, this is kind of surprising to us that Advent Calendars are such a hot commodity.
Yeah.
But Lego makes these every year they do a brand new exclusive Advent Calendar. And basically every day leading up to Christmas, starting December 1st, you open it up and get a new Lego surprise inside. And they're really collectible. And if you want one, now's the time to buy one. December, obviously.
Oop. Dan, I think we lost Heather. Oh, there she is. Nope.
I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, there you
go. Sorry.
That's okay.
So Lego Advent Calendars, it's so lovely to for children to get a surprise every day leading up to the holiday. It's something they look forward to. My kids have Advent Calendars that we fill with toys and surprises, and they get bounced out of bed, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready for school so they can open their box every single day. And Lego's developed this really cool one that is exclusive year by year, and every year they do a different edition, so they're collectible. And it's something kids just really look forward to opening every morning, leading up to the holiday.
Now, have these been, like, I remember advent calendars when I was a kid, and of course, if you watched Bad Santa, a lot of that revolved around an advent calendar.
Not that kind of advent calendar.
But I'm surprised, as you said, I was surprised when I saw this, because I didn't realize that advent calendars had become that much of a thing.
Yeah, you know, they used to be like just that cheap chocolate that you open up and get that kind of waxy piece of chocolate every day. That wasn't super exciting, especially after 25 days of that.
Yeah, not at all.
But now they've really made them super interesting with little toys and surprises inside. And as I mentioned before, every year, Lego especially, is doing an exclusive edition. So this year's advent calendar is completely different from last year's. And Lego has, they've just really exploded on the scene. You know, it used to be just those, just all the rectangle blocks and primary colors. And now they're like super customized. You can build amazing cityscapes. You can build,
Dan, I'm going to put Heather on hold. And you can get her and see if maybe, I don't know if she's wandering about, if her cell is dropping out, jumping around. That happens. You know, everybody's got a thing. So we will get that. So, So according to Best Reviews, the cheapest price they've seen, the lowest price on this Lego advent calendar is $21.97. That's at Amazon. There are also a Friends calendar at $23.99 and a Star Wars one for $33.99. So those are the advent calendars. We are going to talk more with Heather McKenzie from Best Reviews because we've got the list of the hottest toys. There are also some toys they reviewed that are exclusive only, and I don't know if you are. We good? Yeah. All right. Well, let's see what's happening. Hi, Heather. There you are.
We'll keep trying. I should be good.
That's
so,
all right.
Yeah.
So that was the lowest price was on Amazon. Now, you also say at the beginning of this, as people are looking at this list, which they can find at bestreviews.com, some of these you predict will sell out. Obviously, advent calendars, people are going to buy now because it doesn't do any good to wait till, you know, the end of December to give an advent calendar. So this is one, if people are looking for it, they need to get on this right away.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to say, the city version of the Lego Lego advent calendar has already sold out from Amazon. They still have a Star Wars version and a Lego Friends version, but it's definitely something you should buy right away, like today.
While you're listening to us talk.
For Black Friday.
Get online while you're listening to us and order it. And then, you know, and while you're on there, Heather will give you a bunch of other things that that we need to that you need to get before it's time to go. Before we break for the news, last year I remember my wife going crazy trying to find fingerlings for our nephew. Fingerlings are back with a passion. Explain what fingerlings are for people who are like, aren't those potatoes?
Fingerling potatoes are delicious. However, fingerlings, the toy, are these little monkeys, and they also are a unicorn shape. They attach to your fingers or your wrist, and they grip you, and they're interactive. You can pat them on their head. They kind of blink their eyes. They move their head around. If you get one near another one, they talk to each other. They're kind of honestly, like, as a person who's never seen one, you're like, whoa, what is that thing?
Yeah.
The kids go nuts over them. My kids I had to source them last year. I was one of those unlucky parents who waited too long to get fingerlings last year. And I had to buy mine super overpriced on eBay. But this year, the stores know that they're hot, so they have a lot of stock in them, especially Walmart. I think Walmart right now has the lowest price on them. And they have all sorts of colors, and you can even buy little swing sets and gyms for them to interact with. And they're little tiny things that kids can take around with them, like in a car trip or tuck in their backpacks. They're actually really cute and interactive. And that's kind of a major trend is interactive toys that kids can interact with. You know, they can talk to it and it reacts. They can pat it and it purrs. They can take care of it and watch it grow. That's this huge trend for 2018. It was an emerging trend last year, and now it's just really exploded on the scene.
Heather McKenzie's my guest. She's the chief content officer for Best Reviews. Go to bestreviews.com. We're talking about the hottest toys to buy. We're going to continue talking about the hot toys. And then you also have a list, and maybe we can touch on that since you mentioned Fingerlings. Walmart had the lowest price on those. You guys have a new review list of toys that are exclusive this holiday season to Walmart. So we'll get into all of that. Heather, if you can just hang on, we will come back after the news, and we will talk more toys on WGN.
Yes, it's Happy Fun Ball, the toy sensation that's sweeping the nation. Only $14.95 at participating stores. Get one today.
Warning. Pregnant women, the elderly, and children under 10 should avoid prolonged exposure to Happy Fun Ball. Caution. Happy Fun Ball may suddenly accelerate to dangerous speeds. Happy Fun Ball contains a liquid core, which, if exposed due to rupture, should not be touched, inhaled, or looked at. Do not use Happy Fun Ball on concrete. Discontinue use of Happy Fun Ball if any of the following occurs: itching, vertigo, dizziness, tingling in extremities, loss of balance or coordination, slurred speech, temporary blindness, profuse sweating, or heart palpitations.
Wow. I am guessing that Happy Fun Ball is not on the list from bestreviews.com. Heather McKenzie is my guest. She is the chief content officer for Best Reviews. We're talking about the hottest holiday toys, and you need to get these now before they sell out. Happy Fun Ball not on that list. Am I correct, Heather?
It is not. It didn't pass our criteria. We have really stringent, review criteria. So
well,
no.
Sure. With that liquid center that you can't even look at, I'm not surprised.
It's just too dangerous.
Sounds very dangerous. Have there been toys, I'm sure there must be, that you guys at Best Review, you review them and you're like, nah, we can't. This one doesn't live up to the hype.
Such a great question. And, we really try to do a lot of research and consumer research before we even get to the stage where we're bringing toys in, just okay, so we can avoid testing a ton of duds. But one that I will say that you may feel like if you buy it, it wasn't really quite worth your money, is there's this really popular toy, and it was popular last year as well. It's called the LOL Surprise. And what it is, it's basically this giant, you can get it in a bunch of different sizes, but the expensive one runs about $50 or $60. Okay. It's this giant bubble, and it comes with like 50 different packaged toys all inside of it. And the fun and the surprise of it is the kid doesn't know what they all are, and each one is supposed to be different. And you open up all these little packages, and you get these little plastic toys inside. Uh-huh. Some of them you put in water so they grow, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, what we found when we ordered one of these, we tested them 2 years in a row now, and we find that it's just a lot of packaging and not very much toy inside, to be honest with you. And I will say, though, that despite that, I've told my daughter, she's 8, she is obsessed with these things. I've been like, they're kind of a ripoff, They're not really that exciting. There's so much packaging, and she still wants them.
Okay.
So what I would say is my advice, if your kid wants LOL Surprise, which they probably do because they're all talking about them in schools right now, I would get a small one because you can spend about $10 for a small LOL Surprise, and there's like 3 or 4 surprises instead of, 30 or 40, but you're going to feel like you got a lot more bang for your buck because there's less packaging and the surprises inside the cheaper ones are a little bit bigger. So you can go small on that one and just cross it off your list, and your kid will still think you're cool, but you won't feel like, as a parent on Christmas morning, wow, I really wish I hadn't spent that much money on that thing.
Yeah, and that happens. Every parent goes through that at least once, usually more than that, where the kid really wants something for Christmas or Hanukkah. They really want this gift, and you get it and you're like, man, I feel like I'm getting ripped off before I leave the store. But you want to make the kid happy, so you give it to them, and it's like, oh, boy. Now,
exactly. And we're trying to help you avoid that with our list. So generally, everything on our list, we really stand behind. We do list LOL Surprise, but we do list the $10 one this year because we had that experience with the larger one last year, and we were, underwhelmed, to say the least.
Well, listen, the Glam Glitter Series doll is going to be in there, so you got to try to get that. I mentioned when we first started talking that some of these toys, like LOL Surprise, I have never heard of. But a couple things on the list I knew very well. Mega Bloks and Legos are still wildly popular.
Yes, and that's the thing, is Lego has really upped their game. You know, like I was saying before, it used to just be rectangular bricks, primary colors, you know, kind of use your imagination and build something. But it was probably like a square or something, right?
Yeah.
Because they were all square blocks.
Right.
Now they have, you know, they have character sets. Basically, Lego looks at the trends as well. So they're finding out what is popular in kid culture. Last year, they were all about Star Wars sets. They had so many because the different Star Wars movies were coming out around the holiday time. This year, they're back to Harry Potter, and the Harry Potter ones are the things that we're recommending as the trending toys. We put together an awesome Hogwarts castle from Harry Potter, and it was amazing. It's step-by-step directions. It's an exact replica of what Hogwarts is supposed to be like, down to the tiny little plates of food that the kids are dining on in the dining hall. It's so awesome. Like, there's little candles that light up. It's a really impressive set, and it will delight anybody who's a Harry Potter fan, young or old. And it's what we really loved about it, too, is it's something you guys can do together. It's not just something that you, like, put part of the kids is going to be parked in front of, like, a screen. It's really interactive, and it's something parents and kids can do together, especially over that long holiday break when you might be looking for something to do, especially in Chicago with snow.
And where did you guys find the best price on this? Because Legos can get a little pricey.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, Amazon and Walmart are being really price competitive this year.
Okay.
Walmart has upped their toy game, and they're really trying to fill the void left behind by Toys R Us leaving the retail scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say you're going to probably find the best price usually on Walmart for toys, but Amazon is right behind them with the price match. So either one is a good bet. Walmart is offering free two-day shipping, just like Amazon, for the holiday season. You can't go wrong with either place.
All right, and Mega Blocks are for the kids who haven't, they're still young. They haven't gotten into Legos yet because they're still, you know, toddlers.
Exactly. It's for the kids with the less advanced motor skills. They're bigger, they're easier to manipulate, they're a little bit more sturdy, but they're still just as fun. And I think it's really fun. You can take your Mega Blocks and kind of transition to Legos and kind of use them all to make a really cool creation. They won't all fit together, but you can, you know, build a city wall with your Mega Blocks and then build little more intricate things with your smaller Legos.
It's all about
just
imagination.
Don't step on the Legos because that really hurts.
That is, yes, that was the one toy that had to be completely picked up before anybody went to bed because nothing worse than a Lego in the middle of the night.
Walking to bed in the middle of the night, stepping on that Lego, ouch.
Somebody texted in, and they're now Mega Blocks we were talking about were for younger kids, and they're asking, what about their granddaughter is turning one? Is there anything on the list for really young kids?
Oh. Wow, that is such a tough age to get these like more advanced toys that we're talking about in our trending list. I would even say, like, some of the things, like the Leapfrog readers and things are a little bit too young. There's actually, though, a toy that I would recommend. It's exclusive to Walmart this year, and it is the Radio Flyer Deluxe Family Canopy Wagon.
Oh, I'm looking at that on your list right now.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with an awesome wagon. Radio Flyer is the best in quality. And this one, what we really like about it is the sunshade that's on the top of it. So you can use it in the summer. You can use it all year round. It has two seats that face each other, which is fun for having two kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things that you can buy when your child is one, and you can take it all the way until about they're five or six. So it's going to last a few years. So I think the price is around $120. But it really has that longevity and quality. It's easy to wipe down. And once your kid is older than six, you can use it to lug all their stuff around.
Exactly.
That's what I still use. My kids are 5 and 8, and I use the wagon just to carry all the stuff.
My daughter's 22. The wagon is still in the garage. We still have it.
You know, see? So. It lasts forever.
They do.
This one's exclusive to Walmart, so you won't find this one anywhere else.
The Radio Flyer Deluxe Canopy Wagon. Now, another thing that the every year there's electronic stuff. The last couple of years, it's been drones and stuff. This year, robot dogs is on the list for a hot holiday toy. I have enough trouble with my real dogs. What is a robot dog going to bring to my home?
Well, there's a few different kinds of robot toys. Some are a little bit more out-of-the-box friendly than others. Coding toys are a big hot item. So there are some toys that you actually write really simple HTML code on an iPad or a tablet and get the robot to do what you're wanting it to do. But the ones that are kind of easy out of the box and what I would recommend for, you know, the 5 to 8 year old set are these animals, like I was saying before, that are interactive. So you'll take them out of the box, switch on the switch, you pat it, you feed it a treat, you move your hands in a certain way, and it reacts just like you want your ideal pet to react. And my dogs don't react the way I want them to react most of the time.
Never.
But these pets will actually sit when you want them to sit. You feed them their food, and they purr. And a maker of these that really has impressed us over the past few years is called Fureal, F-U-R-R-E-A-L. And they have a unicorn, they have a dog, they have a tiger, and they're just really adorable. They're pretty sturdy, too. In the past, these kind of robotic animals were really breakable, and they break in a second and really disappoint you. Now they've made them really sturdy. I mean, the kid can drag them around. We had a bunch of kid testers here kind of...
That's what I was going to ask. Do you have kids actually test these?
We do. We do have kids. I mean, we could all, the adults in the office could play with these toys all day.
Sure.
And but you don't really know what's cool and what's lame. I mean, what we think is cool, a lot of times kids roll their eyes at. So we definitely need all age kid testers to kind of beat these things up and make sure they really are worth us putting on our list for the year.
So Fureal is the brand that people should look for. Is there one that seems to be more in demand, or is it across the board? Anything by Fureal is kids want them.
You know, I will say that there's a dog this year. It's called the Ricky, the Trick Lovin' Interactive Plush Pet Toy. Is this dog, and it's really cute. And that was new this year. But they also make a tiger, which is also, I think the tiger's name is Tyler, which is adorable, and they also make a unicorn that is beautiful. Especially unicorns are really hot and trending right now. You'll see unicorn everything, and that one's really beautiful, especially if you have a child who is very obsessed with unicorns and their long flowing hair.
Now, do you need to have any computer access or anything with this, or it's all self-contained?
Well, so for real pets, you don't, and that's one of the nice things about them. You don't need a separate application or any kind of software to run them. They are out of the box, ready to go. The directions will tell you a few simple hand commands and different things you can do with the pet to make it interact with you. There are some robotic toys that do have a coding or an iPad element that you use the iPad to tell the pet what to do.
Okay.
And I would say those are a little bit more advanced for an older child, maybe for a 7 to 8 year old plus set.
All right, Heather McKenzie's my guest. She is the Chief Content Officer for Best Reviews. Go to bestreviews.com. You can get the entire list of the hottest holiday toys. We're going to take a quick break. Then we've talked about some high-tech stuff. There's a few low-tech, surprisingly low-tech things on the hottest toy list. We're going to get to those in just a second. It's Brian in for Nick on 720 WGN. Okay, a couple minutes left with Heather McKenzie. She is the Chief Content Officer from BestReviews.com. We are talking about the hottest toys for the holiday season. Hopefully you've been listening. You're online buying those toys, or you're making your list to run out this weekend, because some of these are going to sell out fast. I mentioned, Heather, before we went to break, some low-tech. Now, this, I'm shocked. As a parent of a daughter who I couldn't get to clean anything for her entire life, cleaning and chores play sets are on your hottest holiday toy list.
They are. You know, I think that today most kids I know anyway, they have tablets, they have iPads, mm-hmm. they're playing with their kids' phones. But I don't know if maybe, like, as a parent, I've just kind of maxed out on all of that screen time. But it's really fun to get back to basics.
Yeah.
And when you hand a child something that you use yourself, like a broom or a play mop or a baby doll, they love to emulate you and what you're doing. And it's really nice to interact with them in that low-tech way, to be honest. I mean, that time doesn't last very long. As soon as they're in middle school or whatever age you hand them a phone, they're off in their world of social media. And it's just really nice to kind of get back to basics. And kids really love to use this stuff. They want to rake with you outside with their child-sized rake. They want to, you know, sweep up after dinner with their little mini broom. And it's definitely a trend. And there's some really fun play sets, especially this Melissa and Doug dust sweep and mop kit, six-piece pretend play set. It's a $25 set with six pieces. It comes with its own little stand. It's super cute. And it's something kids can play with for many years.
And that's a nice price point, too. You don't have to break the bank to do it.
Yeah, and it's wood. It's not, like, cheap plastic. It's really sturdy. Actually, I have one here at our house that my kids play with. It's just a really nice toy all around.
Well, staying with that kind of throwback low-tech, action figures and dolls are still hot toys.
They are. And, you know, again, like just like with the Legos, with following what's trending in movies and books that are super popular, this year there's some action figures for Harry Potter that are really detailed. They come with their Hogwarts outfits on, and they're a great way for kids to create their own world with Harry Potter beyond what's already in the books and the movies. They're really true to life. Likewise, if your kids are a little bit older and they saw Black Panther, there's some cool Black Panther action figures as well. Last year, Wonder Woman was the big thing. That movie had just come out. And this year, it's around Black Panther and, again, the resurgence of Harry Potter with the prequels that have been released this year.
Very nice. And the Funko, I love those. I have a bunch of those in my office. The little Funkos, those are always popular. And those are the same way. They tend to follow trends, but then every year they seem to pick out one or two other little niche genres that they put out too. Are there any what are the hot Funkos this season?
Well, this year, you know, I these are kind of throwbacks, but I think the Marvel Avengers series are really cute this year. The Star Wars Funkos, they've released so many of those. They're really fun to collect. We put Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec on our list. You know, honestly, I know a lot of ninth graders who have just now started to discover Parks and Recreation as a show and just think it's the most hilarious thing. So that would be an awesome thing to get, you know, a hard-to-buy for, you know, 13 or 14-year-old. Do that. Make a date to watch Netflix with the, you know, series of Parks and Rec, and you guys can, like, enjoy something that you might have already watched together and help them discover it for the first time.
Perfect. Now, I'm old enough to remember when Toys R Us had entire aisles of toy guns. Those times have come and gone, but you can still, because boys still like to shoot stuff, Nerf guns are, there's no
girls
mistaking
too.
Those. Yeah, girls too, that's true. I grew up with all brothers. That I didn't mean to exclude anybody. But yeah, Nerf guns, there's no mistaking them for real guns. They're just fun, and Nerf guns have made another big movement onto the list.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a parent, you might be like, oh, gun, like, I want to stay away from that. But like you said, Nerf guns are kind of ubiquitous in life. They're neon colors. They don't really resemble real guns at all.
No.
And they do have the soft pellets and the pellets that come out, and they're really fun to play with outside or inside. So I would say, you know, we recommend these. We have a bunch in the office. Certainly, we're, you know, adult children.
Yes.
And shoot Nerf guns at each other at work frequently.
I know. I have two at home, and my wife, I drive her crazy because every once in a while I'll just pop up from behind a corner.
Yeah, it's always fun to assault your coworker with a Nerf gun. They love that. But anyway, so yeah, we have them on the list. I would say I wouldn't recommend them for children maybe under 6 or 7.
Okay.
The pellets can be really small, and they're a choking hazard, and my 5-year-old still sometimes puts stuff in his mouth, and I wouldn't want him to chew on one of the pellets. So that would just be my only word of caution, is if you're thinking about Nerf guns, you might want to make sure that your kids are a little bit older and responsible enough to know to, like, not, you know, poke, shoot your eye out. just like the old Christmas movie.
Well, you don't want that. You don't want the Bumpuses taking your hounds either, or your roast. Heather, I really appreciate the time. You guys are at Best Reviews are working all year round to come up with a great list. I mentioned, what's some of the newest ones on the website at bestreviews.com?
Newest toys?
Or the newest reviews.
Oh, newest reviews. You know, we're constantly reviewing things. We have probably 50 to 100 reviews going up every single day. Wow. Right now, we're really focused on things to help make your Thanksgiving better. And then also all the things that have to do with gift giving and Christmas. So we're refreshing all of those reviews, bringing new stuff in. Our homepage, we update it every single day. We did put our trending toy list on the homepage today, mm-hmm. for any listeners who want to reference it after they've heard this interview. And, yeah, just check back every day. We're always adding new reviews.
Terrific. And it's bestreviews.com, so go there. Heather, again, I really appreciate the time. Have a great Thanksgiving and great holidays. I will talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Brian. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too, as well.
Take care. That's Heather McKenzie, Chief Content Officer for Best Reviews. If you missed any of that, you can go right, as Heather said, on the homepage. The toys we were talking about are right there, along with many, many other reviews, and should be a lot of fun. Oh, yes. Good morning. Brian Noonan in for Nick. Nick will be back next Monday morning. It is, what day is it, Dad? It's Tuesday. I was having this conversation with Dan. Vic, maybe you experience this, but you're used to being on this shift. This is your thing. Every time I am in for Nick, I lose track of what day it is. Because last night, I came into work on Sunday, but technically it was Monday's show. And so all day today, I thought it was Tuesday, and it wasn't. It was Monday, but now it's Tuesday. I'm easily confused.
That's a hazard of this ship.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what day it is. I barely know what time it is.
And the funny thing, Brian, is when you do this shift always, you're a stickler to it. So
yes,
if you're in here writing the news and somebody says it's Monday, you go, no, we've moved on. It's Tuesday. Well, but it's, you know.
Yeah, no, Dan and I are communicating, and I was communicating with Dan Chigrou, and we were trying, you know, every time it's like, all right, what day is it? Tuesday? You mean Monday into Tuesday or Tuesday into Wednesday? It just becomes very cumbersome.
Now the opposite's true for me. So sometimes when I wake up from my sleep, which is sometime around 4 or 5 in the evening, I'll go, wait a minute, what is today? Am I late for work? Am I early for work? Is it Sunday? What's happening?
Oh, it's and people who work third shift, you're just used to this. This is just how it goes. And I think it always confuses me just because of our start time, you know? It just throws everything off. But we're here, and it's Tuesday, right? Just checking. Yeah, it's Tuesday now. All right, very good. We were talking about toys with Heather McKenzie. Was there ever, and I don't mean to put you guys on the spot, but as you look back, were there ever toys that you really wanted? You know, it was the trendy toy. It was the hot thing. And you, oh, man, you wanted it either for Christmas or your birthday or something, and you never got it? Yeah, and you...
Nearly every Christmas.
Really?
Yeah, my parents really weren't into all the... You know, low-key Christmases, yeah. in my household. So I was constantly wishing and being left empty-handed. There was one year, just like the movie A Christmas Story, I got the BB gun I wanted.
Did you really?
I still remember
it.
Wow. Yeah.
Very nice. Did you shoot your eye out?
I did not.
No, I was going to say, you still had, well, from my vantage point, you still have both your
that's
eyeballs.
Right.
So that's good news. How about you, Dan Long?
I remember one year when I was pretty young, I wanted a drum set. And
ooh.
in their infinite wisdom, in hindsight, probably the best decision they made was to not get me a drum set.
One year, my brother got a drum set, a little, you know, a kid's drum set with the cow sills on the bass. The bass drum, the cow sills, and none of us knew who the cow sills were. I don't think my parents knew who the cow sills were. They were just like, oh, let's get Dennis a drum set, and that's, you know, wherever they got it, that was the one. And it was like,
who knew they licensed cow sills drum sets?
I don't know. And this, granted, now this was a long time ago. This is probably late '60s that the cow sills drum set made. Well, sure, because when were the cow sills popular? I don't even know if they'd show up on a Google search. If you,
you know? Gotta be mid-60s, right?
The Cow Sills are an American singing group from Newport, Rhode Island. Six siblings, noted for performing. Noted for performing together. So John learned to play the drums. He was the drummer. Yeah. So the whole family, they were, they inspired, I did not know this, they inspired the Partridge Family. Their story inspired the TV show The Partridge Family. So there you go. They performed professionally and singing harmonies at an early age, and then their mom joined the band. That'll put a damper on your groupie fun, you know?
No kidding.
All of a sudden you're out, you're on the tour bus, and then your mom's part of the band. But I guess that's a... You know, I don't see anything about licensed merchandise on the. They actually did a documentary on them, Family Band, The Cow Sills Story. Bill was fired from the group by his father after they had an argument. Wow. When your old man fires you from the band, that's like Jackson 5 territory.
Yeah.
That's not, man, suddenly you're Jermaine. That's not, you don't want to be Tito. So there you go. They're, a lot of the Cow Sills, I don't...
I think Dave Hoekstra knows Susan.
Susan
somehow.
Cow Sill?
Yeah, I don't remember how, though.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, well, tell him we start talking about the Cow Sills, see what happens. I'm gonna look up and see about this drum set. We'll see if it's... Probably get it... Now, we probably could have get it on eBay. Oh, no, there's a... all right. Yeah, back... All right, this makes sense now. In the original ad for it, it was $10.99. Now, back in the day, that makes sense. Yep, that's the drum set. Had the bass drum with all the Cow Sills pictures on it, and then the two little drums and the cymbals. So that was the drum set story. Until one year when I was in maybe high school, early high school, I wanted a drum set too, but I got a snare drum instead. And that was fun, pretty good. Oh, somebody, going back to what we were saying... From the 608, I work third shift and I'm confused all the time. From the 870, I'm a longtime night owl, and I believe it as it's still Monday night until I go to bed around 5 a.m. Ah, so it's... See, that's how I think of it, too. So it's still Monday night. I won't go to bed till Tuesday. You know, then I wake up, it's Tuesday. It's like I'm traveling in time, Vic. I don't know where I am. I'm on some sort of space-time continuum.
5 years of this, Brian.
Yeah, you're still smiling. That's amazing. That's
because I'm just too tired to know any better.
Well, that's it. I mean, I remember when I would do the weekend overnights for years. It takes a lot out of you. And again, it's, you know, there's all these studies about people who work third shift and their sleep cycles and all of this. It's hard on people.
I took an Uber, Brian, from the Loop to the North Side the other day, and the Uber driver chewed me out. The entire way about getting off of this shift, getting to a day about my health. I'm not kidding you. He was very passionate about me leaving this shift and getting
wow.
to day shift.
When'd your dad start driving Uber?
I know.
That's wow. That's very nice. So how did they know? How did he know who you were?
He asked what I do for a living, and I told him, and then we started sharing. And
very nice.
When he found out I was on the overnights, though. He was very he used to do the night shift, and he got off, and he said it changed his life.
Yeah. Well,
all of his health ailments started kind of going away, and
Well, yeah, because you're sleeping when other people sleep. It's like the guys who do the morning show. That's a hard life, too, except they start working in the,
you're right, though.
In the sunshine.
Because you figure they have to wake up at 2, 3?
Yeah.
And so that's tough.
Yeah, so you're going to bed at, you know. Depending on mm-hmm. how much sleep you need. But, yeah, you're getting up really early. And I remember Spike, when Spike Odell left, within, like, 6 months, he had lost 50 pounds. He looked like 10 years younger just from getting off the crazy shifts. But then you look at, like, Eddie Schwartz and Steve and Johnny. They were on the overnights for years and years and years, decades. And they're, you know.
Still beautiful, mind sharp, and yeah.
Well, Eddie's
right.
gone, but Steve and Johnny.
I was referring to Steve and Johnny.
Don't lump them all together, Vic. Steve and Johnny's still doing great. They're actually going to be here on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Eddie, I don't know. But whatever. So there you go. All right, what are we? We're done with the cow sills. We did. Back to the toy. There was, and I say this every year just to drive my mom nuts because she doesn't remember it. But I used to want Rock'em Sock'em Robots so bad. Every year I would ask for Rock'em Sock'em Robots. That was, and you know how many years I got Rock'em Sock'em Robots? Never, not once, not one time. Till my wife finally got tired of hearing me tell this story and bought me Rock'em Sock'em Robots as a grown man. And I played with it about 18 times, and then, you know, now it's sitting on the shelf with some other toys because I'm still a child.
Get it out of your system.
You have to. At some point, you're there, you're rocking and socking. And I wasn't lying. I have two Nerf guns at home because a few years ago they got me a couple Nerf guns for Christmas. I've got one that shoots like big missiles and then one that's a revolver and has six little suction cup darts in it.
I've seen the big, like, rocket launcher one.
Yeah.
You could do some damage with that.
Yeah, this one's like the smaller. It's not, like, some of them you can load in so much ammunition that you could take over the world. This one is a single, I don't know, the rocket's about, I don't know, what's that, about 4 or 5 inches maybe? And it's a single shot. So I have to be very careful with my targets. I have to pick my targets because I can't, you know, then I have to go to my sidearm. Once I draw, I get one good shot with the rocket launcher, and then I got to go sidearm, and you have to be a little closer because I don't have the sidearm does not have as much oomph as the rocket launcher. But since I'm only shooting at my wife who's sitting on the couch screaming at me, it doesn't really matter. I don't need to be a sniper.
It's not a mobile target.
No, she's not running anywhere. You know, she just stop it, stop it. You're such a jerk. So I get, you know, every 6 months, I'll do it. You know, we'll be in the basement, and I'll see the Nerf guns, and I'll go, yeah, let's see. Last time it was about February. Now it's September. Yeah, I'll take a shot at her. And then I put it away and move on, you know. Oh, gosh. Didn't Maynard G. Krebs play the snare drum on the Dobie Gillis show? I don't know. That's I know you know who played Maynard G. Krebs, don't you? Gilligan, Bob Denver. That's as much as I know about Maynard G. Krebs and Dobie Gillis. That's it. And yes, I am here all week. I don't know if people are asking if I'm here all week because they're happy or because they want to throw their radio in their bathtub. Either way, I'm going to set this up and we'll get into it. A guy proposed to his wife while she was running the New York Marathon. We're going to talk about public proposals. And I want to hear your stories. If you did this, 312-981-7200, I want to know how it worked out because I don't think these are the best idea. I think when you're proposing marriage is a private thing. I don't get all these people doing it in public, but we will talk about that after this. So 312-98, oh wait, hold on. I didn't know we had a cow sales call, Dan. We'll take this one before we go to break. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Morning.
Useless trivia information. You know, the cow cells were supposed to be on the show. The show was supposed to revolve around them, but they didn't want moms, the producers.
Oh, they didn't want the real-life cow cell mom?
Right.
Wow.
Right. So they wanted Shirley Jones.
Well, sure.
So they said, forget it.
Wow, so it was going to be the Councils and Shirley Jones playing their mom.
Yeah. And they didn't want mom. And they said, well, then fine. No mom, no us.
Wow.
I know.
And the Councils ride off into obscurity, and David Cassidy becomes a superstar.
Well, they still perform, but if you ever read their bio, it's a very, very dysfunctional family.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. But I work the third shift, too.
Yeah. Well, tips?
I drive through Chicago. I prefer the third shift as opposed to the first shift.
Oh, yeah. If you're driving, this is definitely the better time to be driving.
Yeah, especially driving a semi. Yeah, a little bit less traffic.
Well, Glenn, be careful, and thank you for the information.
No problem. Have a happy... Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Thanks a lot. All right, let's do this, then we'll talk. If you pulled off one of these public proposals, let me know. 312-981-7200. It's Brian Frenick, WGN. started mentioning this, public proposals. I am not a fan. I think some things should be kept private. I know everybody wants to be the center of attention, and now, you know, if you don't Instagram or Facebook or put your engagement on social media, it's almost like you didn't even get engaged. But this guy, I think, went too far. So his fiance, now fiance, was running in the New York Marathon, and he jumped out. This was his first time. Dennis Galvin is a man. He hopped over a barrier and onto the marathon course and asked his girlfriend, Caitlin Curran, to marry her. It was her first time running a marathon. She trained for a year and still had 10 miles to go when Gavin interrupted her to pop the question. She said yes, cried, hugged him, and then kept running. In the video, she looks happy, but the question that relationship experts are asking is, couldn't he have waited? Let her have her moment. This is something that she had been training for, and now he stole all her thunder. And the other question that the experts are asking is, if you're going to do this, why are you doing it? What's the motivation behind trying to make your engagement a huge spectacle, other than you have a huge hole in your soul that you need to fill with other people's love? That's me. I'm not a psychologist, but that's just me kind of spitballing, you know, popcorn psychology. But you have to ask yourself why you're doing it. Is it going to increase the joy and happiness of your partner? Do they enjoy being the center of attention? Do they prefer quieter moments? Will they say yes, or might the prodding from strangers nudge them there? Yeah, that's always the first thing you should wonder. Are they really going to say yes? And I'm guessing most of us would not ask someone to marry us if we didn't think they were going to say yes. You know, there's very few times that you walk up, hey, you want to get married? Absolutely not. What gave you that idea? I don't know. We've been going out like 7 years, and we live together, and you said, why don't we get married? That's why. No, not at all. So the debate rages on. Now, when we got engaged, I didn't... You could argue it was public, but it wasn't really. So I knew my wife was coming. I knew she was coming over to my apartment, and I had an apartment where the balcony looked out over the parking spaces right in front. So you'd pull up, there's a little three-story apartment building, and you would pull up and park out front and then walk in. So you could see my balcony from right there. And I was on a secluded little side street of this big apartment complex that we were in. So I had everything prepared, and I put a little banner out on the balcony right before I knew she was going to get to my place, and just said, will you marry me? But then everything else was handled inside. So kind of public, but not in a crowd. Unless you were driving, you happen to be driving past my apartment at that particular time, you wouldn't know that there was anything happening. And once she came in the apartment, I brought the banner in. Because I know my wife she doesn't like to be the center of attention. It would mortify her if, say, we had been at a Hawks game and I had tried to put it up on the Jumbotron, or, you know, we were somewhere. Like, I wouldn't have done it in a restaurant. That wasn't the case. She doesn't want to be, in the public eye. She doesn't want to have people paying attention to her. So that's why I decided not to go that route. 312-981-7200. Patrick has an opinion on this guy who proposed during the marathon. Hi, Patrick.
So what you just stated are different than what this guy did.
Right.
To do a proposal at the Hawks game, whatever, in a restaurant, whatever, that's not taken away from something this chick's trained for how long. I mean, she's going for,
yes,
she's training for a race. And what is a race? It's about your score.
Yes.
And he's going to, I mean, totally, this chick should have totally said no, because obviously this guy has no clue what she's about. I mean, seriously, that's like, hey, Brian, you know, you're training for a race, a car race, bike race, whatever race you want to pick. And your girlfriend decides, or your wife decides, we need to have a talk in the middle of this race.
Right, exactly. We must sort out our relationship right now at mile 20.
It's all about me. It's not about you. I'm going to make it act like kind of it's about you, but really?
Yeah. You just trained. How long did you say? 10 months.
So you trained for a year for this.
Okay, 12 months. And he's been with her for those 12 months.
Yes.
And yet he can't figure out that the best time to propose to her is not during the race.
Yeah. I don't get it. People, you're right though, Patrick, and thank you for the call. Have a great Thanksgiving. People want to make it about themselves. It's suddenly about you. It's not about anybody else. Somebody critiquing my proposal. Bold move. Your wife could have seen the banner and pulled back out of the parking lot. Correct. You know. Well, that would have been easier on me because it would have taken away any face-to-face rejection. But I was pretty confident in my move. This was not We had talked about the ring and everything, so I knew she just didn't know when it was coming. She knew.
Ideally, you have the conversation at some point beforehand, right?
Yeah, this is that. Yeah, we had talked about it. I knew this was happening. We'll get to more of your texts, and if you have if you got engaged in a very public setting, let me know. I'd love to hear the story and figure out what to do. Because I do not think it is a good idea. But let's do this. Then it'll be news time on WGN. Stand by for a cheesy tie-in. This is the spirit of the night. Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio on WGN. Talking about this guy in New York. His now fiance was running the marathon. First time she's ever run a marathon. She trained for a year. And at about mile 10, he hopped over the barricade and asked her to marry him. Now, as you can imagine, thankfully, she said yes. As you can imagine, there's people who went crazy on Twitter because there's no better place to go crazy and to show your indignation than on Twitter. One tweet said, quote, "This is a perfect proposal because there's no better metaphor for hetero marriage than being well on your way to accomplishing your personal goal only to be stopped by a man asking you to do something else." End quote. Ouch. And another one said, "If you've ever run a marathon, which I've run dozens, you know the last thing you want partway through is to have your concentration and pace interrupted by anything, much less by a self-centered guy who needs you to stop you mid-race to capture his proposal on camera." Now, according to The Knot, and I know, Dan, despite you not being married, you read The Knot for hints on perhaps your upcoming nuptials. Now, Vic, you are married, correct?
I am not married.
You are not. I thought
I might
married.
As well be.
All right.
I mean, because Jeannie and I have been in a relationship for nearly 6 years now, but no ring on this finger yet, Brian.
Well, listen, good for you. Good for you. Keep it, why bog things down with legalities? Just have a good time. If you ever chose to propose, and I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, if you ever chose to do it, would you do it in a big public setting or would it be a private affair?
Very private.
Yes, that's how it should be.
Yeah, very private. I tend to agree with the last tweet that you read. To me, it seems a little self-absorbent to do something like that. She's in the middle of a tough, very tough thing and then to do that. But, you know, she said yes, maybe they have a special thing. I don't know. Yeah. I would do it privately.
Most people, according to research, most people prefer a private proposal. The Knot, which is a big, as I started to say, a big website for all things weddings. Oh, man, you want to know what color is hot this spring? You want to know what champagne you should serve? You want to know what boutonnieres your groom should marry and what doily should be under your candy-covered almonds? This is the place to go. It's got it all. And they say they detailed the 5 big proposal mistakes, and proposing in front of an audience was one of them. In a survey of 19,000 couples, the wedding website found that most women said proposing in public or in front of friends and family was not advised. Now, I agree with that, but other people do not. Dan is in Chicago. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how are you, Brian?
I am well. So what do you think about this?
I disagree. I don't like the idea of public places, but I think what he was going after was surprise factor.
Okay.
And, he definitely would have surprised her. She wasn't expecting it. So it's nice to hear you on the radio, but I kind of disagree with it a little
well,
bit.
Well, thank you, and that's okay. That's, we can all disagree and have a nice civilized. See, we didn't call each other names, Dan. We disagreed. That's all right. We're both grown men. We disagree,
well, Brian,
we move on.
Brian, we can call each other a little bit of names, though. I wanted to let you know that next week when Nick comes back on,
yes,
Brian's still going to be on the radio. You know that, right?
I don't follow you. I'm lost.
Well, he's got that excerpt straight out of context.
Oh,
and
yeah.
2:23 this morning. You might want to check out and see what you said.
Oh, busted!
Ooh. I don't know what I said. Well,
roll the tape back.
Yeah, Dan'll find it and embarrass me. Well, that's fine. I've been out of context, straight out of context before. I'm sure I'll say something that.
Well, this one's a good one. Get your wife to listen too. Okay.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Dan. Now my curiosity is peaking.
Right.
Happy Thanksgiving, Dan. Thanks for the call. Dan Long is now going back on the log. He's trying to figure out. Do you have any idea what I said, Vic?
I don't. But I wanted to say that, you know, the caller, Dan, he's got a good point, and we don't know the relationship of the two, right? But
sure.
As far as surprise, you know, wow factor goes, there's no way she would have seen that coming.
No.
Maybe they had a deal where they surprised each other. You don't know.
Well, but one of the texter pointed this out, and I'm trying to find it, but wait, if you wanted to surprise her at the marathon, wait till she finishes. Because then not only is she filled with excitement of an accomplishment, she's very, she feels great about herself. Now she gets this other thing. So it's just one great thing on top of another. I've never run a marathon. You know how out of breath I was trying to get back from the bathroom after your newscast yesterday. So I'm not, you know, I don't know about that sort of thing, but I've done things where I'm focused and I don't want to be interrupted. And that seems to be what happened here. Text from the 815, public proposals, that's all about the person proposing, not about the proposal. It's all look at me, puts the other person in a spot. It's all for their ego. Let's see what else. My wife freaked out in 1990 when I proposed. So public proposals, bad idea. Yes, yes. Then, oh my God, really? Obviously it worked out, but I would never do it in public. And here it is from the 574. He should have waited for the finish line. I think that's the best advice if you wanted to do it there. Somebody else says, keep it to yourself. We don't need to know about it. And, I think that guys do the big proposal to take away the girl's choice to say no. Can you imagine the social media backlash? Oh, if she had said no. Yeah, I would be surprised to talk to somebody who asked someone to marry them where they hadn't had the conversation. As Dan and I said, you'd know this is coming. Rarely, if ever, I would imagine, do you get somebody who... You have no idea this is coming. Oh, we've been dating for a month, and suddenly he asked me to marry him. And, you know, we hadn't even gone on a long car ride together. Where was the secretary if he jumped out? Well, I don't think that text was meant for us. I enjoy when we get texts that somebody thinks are, you know, I've followed whole conversations of people who think they're texting, you know, their friends or their family members or their lovers, and they're just texting us. We're sitting here going, all right. Little mockery goes a long way. All right, so there we go. We've learned that. This is very big news. Big news. The Rolling Stones announced they're going on tour again. And the last stop of the tour is going to be Chicago, Soldier Field, in June. I cannot wait. I have never seen the Rolling Stones, which made me think... Let's see. Brian, I've done a marathon, and yes, I wait till they're done, and it's about us, not them. Very nice. Yes, see? I think that's the best way. I've never seen the Rolling Stones. I watched, there was a big documentary on them going into Cuba. Did you see that? Did you happen to see it was all about them doing their first concert in Cuba.
I knew of it. I've never seen the doc, though.
I happened to. It was really good. And I realized the Rolling Stones are one of those bands, iconic, obviously. And I've been a fan for a long time, but I've just never gotten to see them.
Yeah, me either.
And I started thinking, because I felt this way about Don Rickles. I loved Don Rickles. And I always wanted to see Don Rickles. And I never got around to seeing him. And then he died, and now I'll never get to see him.
Right.
Which sucks. So... I see the Stones are coming, and I'm like, all right. I sent my wife the story, and I said, I have to be there. And, of course, she poo-pooed it. Well, I'm not a big Rolling Stone fan. You can go with somebody else. I'm like, oh, well, all right. Either way. But I started thinking about bands or artists that maybe you had wanted to see your whole life, and either you missed it or you finally got the chance. Because, again, I'm going to see it. I went on, they had have a link. You can go and join their mailing list so that you can get a code to buy the tickets before they go on sale to the public, which I think is a scam, because then everybody's going to, who's not going to go and put their name on the mailing list so that you can buy your tickets 2 days ahead of time instead of waiting? Now, I have no idea what the tickets are going to run at Soldier Field. I know I will not be sitting anywhere near the Rolling Stones. But I also know the Rolling Stones are going to have giant screens. So I don't need to sit up close. Plus, I think sitting up close would be a little scary at this point. Because the Rolling Stones are, what, 108? Mick Jagger, I think he weighs 16 pounds, and he's 258 years old. But I want to see him. I want to see him flap around. I have to see Keith Richards one time standing there. Now, it's going to end up being just like watching them on the documentary, because I'll be so far away, you know, unless I don't foresee getting up close. One, because I don't want to be up in that, like, in the field on the mosh pit kind of thing. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to drop, you know, thousands of dollars to go to go see them.
Do they do that at Soldier Field? Don't they?
It depends on the band.
Oh, okay.
I think because some
bands, there is seating down there.
There's seating on the field, but then some bands have, you know, those little where you can pay. My buddy has done this for Springsteen and for Sammy Hagar, where you get right up front in this little weird area. And that's not for me. Well, but one, I'm an old man, and I'm not going to stand the entire time. I will take a ballot off and sit down. I don't need to be, you know. We saw Elton John a couple weeks ago, and he was fantastic. Captain Fantastic, you might say. And but we were way up. My back was literally against the press box at the UC. That's how high up I was. I was, man, but I think I paid $35-40 for the tickets. So that's fine. I just wanted to be in the building. And where the press box is in the stage was actually a really good seat.
Yeah, even then, there's not many bad, I mean, depending on where the stage is set up, even at the UC, there's not that many bad seats.
Right. And it was fine. So that's how I feel about the Rolling Stones. When the Elton John tickets were going on sale, my wife is a much bigger Elton John fan than I am. But I realized after seeing him again how much I really liked his music. But the point was, well, how much do you want to spend? And there's nobody, like, I don't want to spend $200 on anybody. There's nobody, as much of a fan as I am of some people, I don't want to spend that kind of money. So with this one, because it was supposedly Elton John's last tour, even though he'll be back in Rosemont in February, but it's still part of the same tour, so it's the farewell tour. I was like, well, I just want to be in the building. I just want to say that I saw him once and experienced this, and that's what happened. So that's how I feel about the Stones, because sooner or later, and I don't want to be, you know, I'm not the Grim Reaper. I don't want to be a harbinger of doom, but sooner or later, one of those guys is going to die, because you can only play music when you're 168 for so long. And then they'll either die or something. They'll just snap in half. Charlie Watts, you know, great drummer. None of them look that great. But they're still out there. So the Stones stand to make $10 million a night for each concert, according to Forbes. Wow. That tells you right there, these aren't going to be $20 tickets.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to have to parachute into my seat, I think, at the UC or at Soldier Field. I haven't been to a concert at Soldier Field since Springsteen's Born in the USA tour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was the last time.
A very different Soldier Field.
A very different Soldier Field, and that was a general admission concert. Unbelievable. Thankfully, they don't do those anymore, the big general admission concerts. So they haven't released an album of new material since 2005. But they've been doing these the greatest hits. So Charlie Watts is going to be 77, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards both 75, and Ronnie Wood 71 when the tour starts. 77.
Ronnie Wood, the spry youngster.
Oh, he's a kid. Well, what does he have? Like a 19-year-old wife? You got to give it to these guys.
That was Bill Wyman who had like.
Wyman. Yeah, Wyman like had all
the teenager.
Right. He was the Jerry Lee Lewis of the Rolling Stones, but. I know how I feel when I get up every morning. and I'm a lot younger than the Rolling Stones, and yet they're still out there banging around. So I can't wait. So that's the question at 312-981-7200. Is there a band or an artist or someone that you've been a fan of, you've always wanted to see, and you finally took the plunge? How did it pay off? Or did you wait too long and you missed them, and now that's something you're going to have to live with for the rest of your pathetic lives? All right, let's do this. Then we'll do that. Rolling Stones going out on tour. They will be in Chicago on June 21st. Tickets go on sale November 30th. But if you follow the link, you can buy your tickets on that Wednesday before the 28th, I believe it is. So that's that. We're talking about bands that you have waited. You're fans of them, you like them, but you never got to see them, and that's how I feel about the Stones. So I will be there on the 21st. Plus, I don't want to have FOMO when I see everybody else posting pictures that they're there.
No FOMO.
I don't want FOMO, Dan. Do you have somebody that you've always wanted to see that you never did?
Well, I'm pulling out all the stops, you know, to see the Stones this time around. Nice. I'm doing the pre-sale thing because I learned my lesson last year with Tom Petty.
Oh.
You know, it was something I always had wanted to see him, and yeah, I was like, "This the timing either never lined up or I forgot the show was happening." And of course, 40th anniversary tour last year, the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Wrigley Field, like a dream show that I missed out on. And then, of course, a couple weeks after he gets off the tour, he dies, and then that's that.
Yeah, and that's that.
There's a couple of guys like that, and it's like,
take
the chance when you have the chance, I guess. Don't let the opportunity to see some of these guys, now that they're getting up there in age, slip away.
Well, that's the thing. As as the people that you admire or are fans of get older, there's only, you know, there's a point maybe they're either going to stop touring altogether or some tragic is going to happen. Somebody else texted in that it was Tom Petty. I wanted to see Tom Petty for years, but his last time through Chicago, I had some health issues that kept me from committing. Then he died, and I'm still kicking myself. Yeah.
Yep, I hear you.
And that's one of I was lucky enough when we lived in Los Angeles, I got to see Tom Petty at the Fabulous Forum in Irvine. And it was great, and the concert at Wrigley I was debating, but I got to be honest, I don't like seeing concerts at Wrigley.
I've only ever seen one. I saw the Police there like a decade ago. That was my only Wrigley concert experience, and that was before like the whole thing blew up and they started having like 15 shows a year there.
Right. Yeah, I saw Springsteen there once, and I saw James Taylor and Jackson Browne there. And that's about it. The number one miss list band, an easy one, Led Zeppelin. This from the 847. They just released In Through the Outdoor. I think it was the fall of 80. It was. They were scheduled to come to Chicago. Yep. And that was going to be my big moment. And then that was not meant to be. John Bonham passed away. That was, I was going to go to that show too. I was in high school. I remember that very, very clearly. Go see the Stones, says the 608. Bill Wyman's marriage was more messed up. He married the teenage daughter, and his son married her mom. Wow. That's crazy. All right. So that's Bill Wyman. Let's see. A month ago, I saw Alice Cooper at Rockford's beautiful Coronado Theater. Cooper is 70. I had last seen him in 1981. It was a great show, and I'm glad I went. He didn't just phone it in. To answer your question, I missed an opportunity to see Chuck Berry when he was in Rockford years ago. That's from Alfredo de Dark. Thank you, Alfredo. Stones in late 70s, and George Burns was 81 when he did Oh God. Yeah, George Burns, acting is a little different than being a rock and roll singer, though. You can take breaks. You're not on stage in front of thousands of people for 2 hours. You know, maybe a little longer. I don't know how long the Stones will do in a show, but it'll be interesting. Yeah, I still kick myself about Don Rickles. I had a couple chances, and like even when I was doing comedy and I was working in Vegas, when I would be working in Vegas, he was working, so I couldn't go see him because the shows were same time. And then when I would go to Vegas just as a tourist, he wasn't working. Those were the weeks he was off. And I was like, ugh! And then he'd come here to the Hollywood Casino, and I never did. And it, it still bothers me. But I'll live with it, Dan. I'll put it behind me because I'll go. I had to go. Somebody else said they. Somebody texted in that they finally went, dropped big bucks to see Paul McCartney. You're right. I don't think I'll ever pay over $200 for any concert again. I saw Paul McCartney last summer. I went to the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater out there.
That's the in Tinley, right?
Yes, the Tinley one. And I got lawn seats, and we got there early, so we were right at the front of the lawn in the center. I think the tickets were $50, and there he was. It was a Beatle. Sir Paul right there. Big screen. It was very nice. Again, I don't need to be up close for any of these. There's nobody I need to be like, because that was the big thing. Remember when you were young, trying to get as close as you could?
Yeah.
You know, you needed to be front row, or you needed to be down in the pit, or you needed... Because I've been close before.
Sorry to cut you off, but it made me think of the flip side of the discussion, which is guys that you always wanted to see, and you did. And it lived up to it, which was I was second row at Allstate Arena for Neil Young in 08. And that's like the top of my concert going experience.
Yeah, it lived up to everything.
Oh, yeah.
You could die a happy man after that. Now, would you go see him again, or would you be afraid that it would not live up and tarnish the memory? Because now you have that memory of that show that was so great. Would you go risk seeing him again?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because I think the shows stand on their own as experiences. It doesn't reflect. Because I mean,
that's true. It doesn't.
Sometimes
reflect
you have off nights.
Whole career, sure.
Yeah,
yeah. Because there were. Well, I've seen Van Halen a number of times. I love Van Halen. The last time I saw Van Halen, I said I would never go see Van Halen again. Because
is this the recent incarnation?
No, this was still back in maybe 2004. 2005. So it was Sammy, Eddie,
okay,
Alex, Michael Anthony was still in the band. It was a horrible show. You know, Sammy laid, because they have a little pit up front. Sammy spent half the time just laying there talking to the people in the pit. It's like, hey, you know, that's 150 people. There's 20,000 people who want to see the show.
The arena.
Yeah, and then and that was when they were bringing Wolfie in. Sometimes it was weird, and Eddie looked like Skeletor. It was not a good show at all. And that, again, that was at the, that was at Staples Center. It was just, not good. All right, we got to do this. And then we will have news. So we'll have that news coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn. That's going to be from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Yeah. Panama, wake things up at 3:06 on WGN. Brian Noonan in for Nick. Dan Long in for Dan Chagru. Vic in for himself. Poor Vic has to work with the, you know, get stuck. You're taking Friday off, though, right, Vic? You're taking at least one day off this week. You're a man who needs a vacation day, don't you?
I will be taking Friday off, a little 3-day weekend.
Very nice.
But happy to be here with you guys, Brian. I love you guys.
No, we are happy to have you with us, and we will miss you on Friday. But it'll be fun, a 3-day weekend. Going out of town, you staying here?
I'm going to go visit family. After I get off work Thursday morning, I'll go out to the suburbs and be with my family for the week.
Very
for
nice.
The 3-day weekend, yeah.
Well, enjoy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You guys, too.
Thanks. Well, I think we have another couple days till then, right? Yeah. Two more days? I don't know what day.
Reported allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. All right. We were talking about these bands because the Rolling Stones announced they're going on tour. And it's one of those bands that I've always wanted to see, and I've realized if I don't see them now, I may never get another chance to see them. So we're talking about that. We'll just read a couple of these texts and then move on. I went to a Van Halen show at the UC in 2004. It was great, but Eddie was on or off then based on his substance intake. So I hear it sucked the next night. AC/DC at Wrigley was awesome as well. That was another one that I was like, oh, I should have gone and seen AC/DC.
Yeah.
Before people got, people went deaf and people got arrested. And
Malcolm is gone. And
yeah, it's...
Brian Johnson can't tour.
Right. It's just so... That's unfortunate. That was from the 608. From the 847, a good topic you brought up. Well, thank you. I was just thinking the other day how I was so mad at myself for missing Tom Petty. A lot of people have Tom Petty regret, Dan, just like you. I'm excited for you wanting to go see the Stones. They did not disappoint. They played a long time, covering pretty much every song I wanted to hear. Saw them at Soldier Field in the 90s, and my mother-in-law even went with my wife and myself. You'll definitely be happy about your decision. Yeah, and that's one of those. My wife now is saying, well, she'll go and she'll have a good time. You know, we'll get the tickets and we'll go. I feel the same way about Tony Bennett at Ravinia every year because it could be his last. Yeah, that's I get that little twinge too. Like Tony Bennett's a legend, and you think, well, maybe I should go see Tony Bennett. Well, you can't think that too long because sooner or later he's going to stop touring one way or another. I had the opportunity to see Black Sabbath on their last tour a couple of years ago and didn't. I've regretted it ever since. That from the 708. We all have to live with regret, which is sad, especially because a lot of times you don't have to. I'm always weird about buying tickets this far in advance too. You know, the show's not till the end of June. You're buying the tickets now in November, and I know if something happens, you get your money back, but it's like, oh, well, has that always been the way? I guess it has. I don't remember. I remember standing in line outside Sears at Park Forest to buy my REO tickets back in the day, but I don't remember how far ahead of the show that actually was. Remember going to, you never had to go to Ticketmaster or Ticketron, right? You were just always buying your tickets on the internet. You're a young man.
Yeah.
You never had to go stand in line?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. As far as I can remember, I've always bought tickets online.
When the aforementioned Springsteen, Born in the USA at Soldier Field, we camped out outside a Sport Mart to buy tickets. There are two things that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Camping out for tickets and Sport Mart. But yeah, and same thing. Anytime you had to, if you really wanted to go, you had to go camp out in line to try to get tickets, and it was insane. And people would take like days, and they'd a list would start, and God forbid you tried to cut, and people it was a huge ordeal to try to go to a concert, you know. But now we don't have to worry about that anymore. Bob Seger is going to be at the Allstate Arena on December 14th, and he very rarely tours and has already canceled this tour once. I have my fingers crossed that he and I will both be there. Thanks, Steve. I saw Bob Seger 2 years ago at the UC. Did not disappoint.
Nice.
And he was another guy. I had Bob Seger albums. I listened to Bob Seger all the time. My wife's from Detroit. She has an unnatural fixation, as all people from Michigan have with Bob Seger. So we went, and he was fantastic. He was really, really good. Jay Giles' band opened. Yeah, that was, they were okay. But, Bob Seger. We'd like to see Bob Marley. He was 36-year-old when he died, the king of reggae. Yeah, well, if you had a chance to see him and you didn't, that's one thing. If they, unfortunately, if they're gone too soon, that is, that's another way. So, well, what have we learned, Dan? We learned that don't take these things for granted. If you have a chance to go, go.
The old saying goes, buy the ticket, take the ride.
That's it. And, remember, just because you're not 18 anymore, you don't have to be in the front row. Sometimes just to be, we had to camp out at a record store to buy Brandmeier tickets for every show. It was fun, though. Yeah. Another thing, yeah. I remember going to see Johnny. Like, Johnny sold out Poplar Creek. He was selling out everywhere. Guy sold out all the time. If you listen, this is the cross plug, because, the Sunday show has been bumped around a lot because of sports, so Cody and I do a podcast every week, and Brandmeier came up on this latest podcast and a story of my interactions with Johnny. So if you want to hear those stories, go to that podcast at WGNradio.com, listen in. Oh, you like that. Sad I missed the Eagles with Glenn Frey, but Paul McCartney at Wrigley 5 years ago was one of the highlights of my life. Yeah, I went and saw the Eagles. They were my very first concert back at the old Comiskey Park. And then I went on this last tour with Vince Gill and Glenn Frey's son. And I loved it. I was very hesitant to go because having been a huge Eagles fan and having seen the Eagles with Glenn Frey, it was one of those things I debated about going. And I'm really glad I did. Really glad that I went and saw them now. Even without some of the original members, which is hard because if you missed a band with the original members, to then have to go and see, you know, your band 2.0, it's like, and you can get by, excuse me, you can get by with, you know, maybe a bass player. Maybe you can replace a bass player. But a lot of times you can't put the main guy in there. Robert's in Dixon. He wants to jump in on this. Hi, Robert.
Hey, yeah. I was back, I don't know, a few years ago before Johnny Cash passed away. I really wanted to see him. Always liked him since I was a kid. And I had actually bought tickets to see him when he collapsed. I believe it was in Detroit on stage. And then he just never went back out. And I just regret that. And like I say, I'm holding KISS tickets right now for a show in Moline.
Yeah.
But the cheapest tickets for those Rolling Stones are like $219. It's ridiculous.
Is that right?
Yeah. My nephew was looking online last night. And by the time you and your wife go, I have a couple beers or a couple sodas, you know, $500, man.
That may sway my decision-making process. I'm guessing, though, all the way up at the top of Soldier Field, they're not going to charge $200.
Well, he said that was the cheapest ones he could find. So, but I've been to all kinds of shows, man. I've been from Slipknot to the Irish Tenors, Black Sabbath, KISS several times, Aerosmith, Primus. It's crazy, the shows that I've been to.
Nice.
But my wife won't go to any more that we're not close enough to be there.
Oh, you
know,
really?
Kenny Chesney, we were seventh row.
Wow.
You know, Primus and Rush, we were third row. So we will spend the money to get decent seats. She's kind of short, too. So, but
yeah, that makes
still,
a difference.
You know, if you're at a big venue like that, it's ridiculous that they charge that much for even the nosebleed seat.
Yeah, nosebleeds shouldn't be more than like $50. That should be the top.
I agree.
That's, you know, because you're at that point, you're watching it on TV, basically. You're in the building,
you get
the vibe, but you can see the screens, but everybody else is kind of like, oh, is that could be Mick Jagger, or it could be just a skinny old dude. Could be any skinny old dude. I've seen
Dave Matthews there at Soldier Field, and we had about 50-yard line, but we were still up high, you know. Buddy Guy was there. That was a pretty good show. That sounded good, but still, you just can't see anything what they're doing on stage.
Yeah, it's a different experience when you really can't see. Robert, thanks for the call. Have a great Thanksgiving. From the 608, I had free tickets to see Stevie Ray Vaughan at Alpine Valley. I didn't go. Biggest concert mistake I ever made. Yeah. Because we all know what happened that night. All right, one more on this. Chris. Oh, another about Stevie Ray Vaughan. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Brian, you handsome devil, you. I'm watching the live stream.
Well, I don't blame you. I'm a good-looking young man.
yeah, Stevie Ray. I seen him 7 years in a row. And the 1 year I skipped, I was like, you know what? We'll see him next year. And
that's,
yeah,
we all
tragic.
Know what happened that night. That was awful. And see, at least the good part is that you had gotten to see him so many times. So
right, but you know, but it could have changed music history if it was, you know, the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. And the weird thing too, you know, you go see bands on their farewell tour, you know they're done. People at that show, they didn't know that, nobody knew that was going to be his last show.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody knew at all. Chris, thank you for the call. Keep watching the stream.
Thanks,
you know, we appreciate that as well. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get into this. Now that we've been talking about music, let's talk about movies, because it is the Nick DiGilio Show. We know Nick loves to talk about movies. I saw this today. 101 movies that you must see in your lifetime. I want to see if you, you know, feel free to jump in. Let me know the movie that you think you should see in your lifetime. We'll go through some of this list, at least a little bit of it. We won't do all 101. That would be tedious. But it would fill, you know, take us all the way till 5. Because we'd have a discussion on each of the 101 movies. That's not going to happen. But we'll talk about it a little bit. And we'll do it when? After this on WGN. Oh, my goodness. All right. I love to go to the movies. I love to see movies. I was watching John Oliver, which is a TV show, I realize. But he was talking. He had a quick joke about A Star Is Born. Did you see A Star Is Born, the new one with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga?
I have not, actually, no.
I haven't either, and yet everyone is talking about it. So much so that they did a little And Now This on Last Week Tonight, which featured our own Ro Khan.
I saw that.
Praising the movie. They had people all over just talking about how great A Star Is Born is, you know, was. So they had pulled clips from different news things. So when I saw this list today of the 101 movies that you need to see in your lifetime, I thought to myself, oh, I wonder if Star Is Born is on there. But it is not. So 312-981-7200. You are more than welcome to jump in and tell me some movies that you believe you need to see in your lifetime. I will give you some of these, and we'll go from there. Number one on the list. Number one on the list is a movie that I don't believe you can be a person who says you are a fan of movies if you have not seen this film. Everybody should have seen this film, The Godfather. 1972, you know The Godfather. It is a perfect movie. Its sequel, The Godfather 2. Godfather 2, arguably one of the only sequels that is as better than the original. You know, I loved both of them. So The Godfather came in at the number one movie that you must see. And I don't know, you know, if you've seen The Godfather, haven't you, Dan? You can just nod. I know you're on the phone. Dan, of course, has seen The Godfather. He's a true guy. This one, number two, surprised me a little bit, but I saw number two a number of times. Do the Right Thing. Spike Lee's a joint. Do the Right Thing. It says, with its carefully built complex narrative, Spike Lee's is a visceral movie about race in America that lends itself to new interpretations every time you watch it. I remember having unbelievable debates with people about Do the Right Thing and about Sal and his pizzeria and you know, Radio Raheem and Mookie. But I do, man, that Rosie Perez scene at the very beginning. Holy cow, Rosie Perez. She was very sweaty. A young Rosie Perez. He's a little ice cube. That was very, very nice. Number three, Citizen Kane. You ever seen Citizen Kane, Dan?
I've never seen Citizen Kane.
I have seen. You should see Citizen Kane. You'll feel like you just attended a cinema class in college, watching Citizen Kane and Rosebud and the big dining room table.
Yeah, I should be a better film goer.
It's
as far as the classics go.
I think so. Well, there's a lot of movies on here that I haven't seen. And I'm like, maybe I'll see them. Maybe I won't. Let's see. Doc wants to jump in. Give us a couple. We'll see if his are on the list. Hi, Doc.
Hey, my two favorite movies: Being There with Peter Sellers,
oh, that was a great one.
Shirley MacLaine and Melvin Douglas, and House of Games. It's a David Mamet movie with Joe Mantegna.
Lindsay Krauss, right? Yeah,
Lindsay Krauss was married to David Mamet at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember seeing that. That was really good.
J.T. Walsh was in that, and the magician Ricky Jay.
Yep. Yeah, Ricky Jay was in a lot of those David Mamet movies.
I was on hold, Morgan Spurlock did a thing that was like 6 one-hour episodes that were the top 60, I think it was the top 60 documentaries you should see. That would be a good topic.
That would be. There's just so, and unfortunately we don't have, you know, there's so many movies that we're supposed to see. Now here's 101, and then somebody else is going to have a list of 100. Now we've got your list of 60 documentaries. I don't have time for this, Doc. I don't know.
No doubt.
Where am I going to find the time to sit around and watch 60 documentaries?
I've seen probably two-thirds of those.
That's not bad.
Have you seen Being There with Peter Sellers?
Yes, I remember seeing that in the theaters when I was young. It was terrific. Chance the Gardener.
Correct.
Chauncey Gardner.
I like to watch TV. Yeah.
And everybody thought he was a genius. That was a great suggestion. Thank you, Doc. Have a great Thanksgiving. All right. Number four on this list, Before Sunrise. Have not seen it. Richard Linklater's Before Sunrise. Ethan Hawke is in it. It's a romance movie, a smoochy movie. Some might call it a chick flick. I would never say that. It's horrifying. It's just not a good label. Dan, why would you push me to say something like that? Boyhood, I didn't see Boyhood either. Another Linkletter film. See, Nick is probably, if Nick is
Nick's Nick at home, loves Linkletter.
Yeah, he loves these movies. I didn't see Boyhood. 8.5. Now here, see, now we get into movies that I have never even heard of. This is Fellini's 8.5. It's a classic art house, classic of art house cinema. I'm not a big art house cinema guy.
Nah.
I don't want to have to work that hard when I'm watching a film. I don't mind thinking. I don't mind learning a lesson or trying to have different plot points or things like that. But some stuff is just so abstract. It's like, all right, I get it. You're trying to challenge me. I will not be challenged. 2001 A Space Odyssey, celebrating its 50th anniversary. They're doing a big thing at the Adler Planetarium about that. I have never seen 2001 A Space Odyssey. That makes me a bad human being.
Yeah, I've seen it in bits and pieces. I don't know if I've ever watched it all the way through.
But it's one of those, I could reference it, Dave. Everybody can make those references. And that's amazing to never have seen a film but still know enough about it to use it as references. This is what bothers me about some of these lists. I'm reading it. And you have to go through the slideshow because you can't just get, they don't just give you, you can't just get the printout list. You know, you got to look at the slides. Too many. The Rules of the Game, never seen. 1939, pass. They take a sharp knife to pettiness of class distinction. It's Jean Renoir's hilarious yet moving satire. No. Toy Story, of course. Who hasn't seen Toy Story? Now you, have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
You grew up on it. This was like right in your wheelhouse, right in your childhood. This perfect movie for your childhood. Psycho, of course, the original, not the Vince Vaughn version. That was a great movie. I remember seeing that and being terrified. Anthony Perkins, the ultimate freaky, creepy, terrifying dude in this movie. Come on, mother. So that's top 10. Seven Samurai come in at 11. I hear a lot of people talk about Seven Samurai. I've never seen it. We'll do a little more of the list. We'll get some of your favorites, movies you think should be on this list. We will move on after that. But we've got to do this. Then it's news time.
You can see all the stars as you walk down Hollywood Boulevard. Some that you recognize, some that you've hardly even heard of.
Wow. Tie-in, but kind of a sad tie-in, kind of a little bit depressing tie-in as we talk about the 101 movies you need to see in a lifetime. Good news, we only got about 90 left. We're not doing the whole list. But if you want to jump in with your favorites or movies that you think people really need to see in their lifetime, you know how to get all of us, 312-981-7200. No game show this morning. No, we are bringing back the arcade on Friday morning, though. I don't know what the topic will be, but we will have an overnight arcade coming back on Friday. Anytime I'm here for the whole week, we like to bring back the arcade. Dan, I don't know if you know this. Back in the day, the overnight arcade, the most popular radio quiz show ever.
That's what I hear.
It was huge. People would huddle around the radio like they were listening to World War II broadcasts, waiting for the arcade to come on. Oh, it was unbelievable. I'm glad you get to be a part of it.
Excited.
And I almost believe you. From the 847, just off the top of my head, there are a few movies that really seem to pay off. Lawrence of Arabia, Animal House, Wizard of Oz, and Silverado. I loved Silverado. Did you ever see Silverado? It was with, who was in there? Brian Dennehy was in it. Scott Glenn was in it. Kevin Costner was in it.
No.
Kevin Kline was in it. It's a Western. Sweeping Western.
I'm pro Dennehy, so I might have to check that out.
Dennehy was great in this one as an evil sheriff. He was terrific. Terrific, terrific. The Birds, Wizard of Oz are must-see movies from the 708. Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. That's from the 815. Let's go to Greg and see what he wants to contribute. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how about something lighthearted? Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
That's a feel-good, especially around the holidays.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Yeah, that's one people need to see before they move on, shake this mortal coil. Greg, thank you for the call. I hope that was just, that was just Greg. I was getting feedback from Greg. Greg had the radio on. I was like, it was throwing me off. I was getting crazy.
I think it was the phone, because the radio would add a lot of
delay. Right, yeah, there was just I don't know. I don't know this technology, Dan. Phones and things like that and people calling and texting on the same number. I don't understand it. The Muppet Movie, number 12. Never saw the Muppet Movie. I've seen other Muppet movies. I've seen the Muppet Christmas Carol every year. See that. I've seen some other. I've seen the Muppets Take Manhattan. But I don't think I ever saw the original Muppet Movie. Bicycle Thieves from 1948. That was a little before our time, Dan. Singing in the Rain. I've seen parts of it. Not a big musical film guy. Beauty and the Beast I did see, though, the animated version. Wonderful. 1991. Really? Holy cow, I'm 187 years old. E.T. came in at number 16. The Extraterrestrial. That is it. That's from 1982. Jaws came in at 17. Groundhog Day. See, some of the, I think when you get a list that's 101, now I have no problem with Groundhog Day. It's an excellent, excellent movie. But you wonder, when you just have to fill these big lists, what you're gonna do. Goodfellas coming in at 19, and rounding out the top 20, The Shining from 1980, Red Rob. He's not here, miss it, right? Before today's horror thrillers, there was nothing scarier than Stephen King's, the adaptation of Stephen King's 1977 novel. It was really good. That was, Jack Nicholson was crazy in that one. Shelley Duvall, always freaky. Just always freaky.
Well, didn't they said, like, Kubrick was intentionally, like, tried to make her go crazy on the set?
Yeah, where did I just heard that somewhere. I heard somebody talking about it, some show I was listening to. Who knows what I listen to? Maybe it was the voices in my head. I don't know. I don't know exactly what was happening. Ike wants to jump in. Hi, Ike.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going? Yeah, I have three movies I want to mention, actually, that I think people should definitely watch. I think the first one is very relevant to what's going on right now in America with politics and everything, because a lot of people are ticked off. Of course, you remember Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
Yes. Yes, he wanted breakfast, yeah, and it was 10:02. He wanted breakfast.
Exactly, yeah. He went to the Ramy Burger, he held up the joint and everything. Yeah, that's a classic. He's definitely well for it. Michael Douglas even said that's his favorite performance.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he said that.
And what are your other ones?
During the L.A. riots.
Yes. And what are your other two, Mike?
Yeah, and okay, the second one has to be, and people should know this movie because it's also relevant. It's Escape from New York.
I remember seeing that at the Glenwood Theater. I loved Escape from New York. Did not care for Escape from L.A., but loved Escape from New York.
Yeah, absolutely. Snake Plissken, very iconic character. People should know, even kids today, he's very iconic. People should know him more just like Rambo. He's so iconic. He totally represents the American spirit of today, totally.
And finally?
This is definitely a very underrated movie, also a very underrated love story. It kind of had the same similarities of, it had a mixture of like E.T. and Ghost. You remember Starman?
I remember Jeff Bridges, but I don't know if I ever saw it. I mean, I remember it coming out. I remember, I know I've seen parts of it, but I can't recall seeing the whole thing.
Oh my God. It was directed by John Carpenter. It was with him, Jeff Bridges and Karen Allen.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, it was kind of like Ghost, but it was with an alien because her husband died. This alien came, crash-landed near her house, and then he regenerated himself as a clone of her dead husband.
Oh.
And they go on this trip to get him back home, and they fall in love.
Oh, very nice. Well, that sounds all right.
Yeah, very underrated love story. I heard they wanted to do a sequel.
Huh. I don't know. Well, yeah. Ike, those were three good suggestions. Thank you for the call. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll do a couple more from this list and then get some of your suggestions. 21 is Moonlight from 2016. Some Like It Hot. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I never saw that one either. Shawshank Redemption, of course. You have to watch Shawshank every time it's on TV. It's wonderful. Die Hard. Blazing Saddles. The Lion King. Mulholland Drive. The Dark Knight. And Pulp Fiction round out your top 30. So there you go. That's that list. Some of the text coming. Grease was the big movie that the summer I graduated from high school. So that's one everybody should see. From the 301, I think of Silverado as the Star Wars of Westerns. Huh. I would like some more explanation on that. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is on the list. That is a classic. Life is Beautiful is, I remember, well, who is it? Benito, I want to say Mussolini, but that's not it.
Roberto Benigni.
Roberto Benigni, that's it. Yes, yes, Roberto Benigni.
Benito Santiago.
Yes, Carmen Sandiego. Where in the world is she? I never know. Dave Monroe is in Wisconsin. See the Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind, High Noon, Magnificent Seven, Duck Soup, Schindler's List, Blazing Saddles, Rocky, Star Wars, and Cocoon. Good list, Dave. And finally, one last call on this topic. Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good. My favorite movie of all time, is, of course, is Casablanca. But one I haven't heard a lot about is Rain. I'm sorry, I don't remember, but Little Big Man.
Oh, yeah. Hoffman. That's a good one. I would imagine that's somewhere on this list, but I can't go through all the slides to get to it. But thank you, Joe. Great additions. Have a great Thanksgiving. I appreciate the call. Let's see. More movies are starting to come back to me now from the Robert Redford files. Holy cow, The Sting, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, All the President's Men, Young Frankenstein. We could go on and on because everybody's got their favorite, but we will not. In fact, I'm going to we'll move on because I'll take a quick break. I'm going to take the break a little early so we can reset, get things going. We've been talking about movies long enough. I want to tell you, if you're going, now the holidays are coming, right? We're all going to be going out. Maybe you've got parties, you're going out to restaurants with friends. I've got a way that maybe will help you a little bit because you might think to yourself, oh, I've got to watch my weight. I got to be careful over the holidays. Well, I got a way that may help you keep from overindulging. Dan, I didn't ask, what's your favorite movie? What movie do you think everybody needs to see? What would you recommend? You say, you got to see this movie. If you don't see this movie, you're not a human being.
It's grown in cult status over the years, and it just recently celebrated a 20th anniversary.
Oh.
I will go The Big Lebowski, Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, Coen Brothers.
Wow, it does have a huge cult following, and I have seen The Big Lebowski a number of times. And I enjoy. See, I'm torn on this one, because I enjoy it. I do.
Airplane.
Oh, another good. Going back to The Big Lebowski, because I will many times say that the rug ties the room together. I will wonder if people are nihilists. You know, I'll try to lick a bowling ball when I'm at the lanes. But there's something about it that while I really enjoy it, I'm like, I don't enjoy it. You know, it's the Coen brothers sometimes throw me off a little bit.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it just hits me in the right place
every
time.
And that's the thing. That's why, you know, these lists can spark discussion because we all have our favorites. You know, we're at number 30. I hadn't gotten to The Princess Bride yet. How is The Princess Bride not on this list? You must, as a human, see The Princess Bride.
Right.
It's terrific. And I don't care if you're a big, burly man or a small child or a woman or I don't know. Everybody needs to see that movie. Because some on this list, like Pulp Fiction, I think is a fantastic film. First time I saw it, unbelievable. Subsequent watchings, still good. And then it's like, okay, I get it. Which is how I feel about Quentin Tarantino anyway. I get it. You're going to use certain words. There's going to be a lot of profanity. There's going to be gratuitous violence. But Pulp Fiction, because of it, you know, when it came out with the multiple storylines all interconnecting, it was terrific. Terrific. But that movie's not for everybody. But I think a movie like Princess Bride, that's for everybody. You know, Gladiator's on the list, a lot of that. All right, so let's take a quick break, and then we will. I will tell you how to try to maintain your composure over the holidays when you are out eating. All right, let's do this. Then there's that. All right, Dan, before we get into this, someone has sent along a conspiracy theory about The Big Lebowski. I don't know if you've heard this. It's the 20-year anniversary of The Big Lebowski, and they say the story go around is that Steve Buscemi's character, Donnie, is just a figment of Walter's imagination.
I'd heard that one before.
Have you really?
Yeah, but I think there's one line where the dude does talk directly to Donnie, so I think that blows that
I remember Walter screaming at Donnie all the time.
But there's a scene where they're walking out of the bowling alley and Donnie says something to the dude.
About the car, right? When
the dude goes, thank you, Donnie.
Okay. So that discredits that theory. I love a good conspiracy theory. I also love that people care about a movie so much. And this is not a slam. It may sound like a slam because most of what I say sounds like a slam. But I like that people care about a movie so much that they're going to invest that much time to come up with theories. It's like the people who go through something frame by frame, like every movie is the Zapruder film. It's like, no, not really. Let's see. All right. That's the people agreeing with me about the Princess Bride, of course. All right. Now, this is something I never thought of. Usually, when do you get a doggy bag when you go to a restaurant? The end of the meal. When you've already, you know, overindulged. You're like, oh, I can't possibly eat this last rib. Well, you ate 17. Just eat the last one. No. So, scientists have found that if we ask for a doggy bag before eating, we're less likely to overindulge, even if we order a particularly large meal. Well, yeah, but that, of course, I guess you could order it and put it in a bag and then not eat it, but then you take it home, you're still going to eat it. They found that if we know our food is going in the garbage, we are likely to overeat in order to finish it. So if you're going to throw your food away, you don't want to waste food because there's poor children in insert country here, whatever it was that your mother, wherever your mom told you the starving children were from. Diners who got a doggy bag before the start of the meal are less likely to overindulge. For the study, researchers at Penn State University, I've heard of that place. Been through some rough times lately, Penn State. They split 50 women into two groups and gave them a meal once a week for a month. That doesn't seem like enough food. You can eat once a week. If you put it in the doggy bag, you probably won't overindulge. All right. Anyway, they gave them the portion sizes for both groups increased each week. For the group who knew a doggy bag was available, the amount of food consumed hardly changed, despite the growing portion size. But the women who were not offered a doggy bag ate an extra 60 grams for every additional 100 grams of food on the plate. So in order to alleviate the thought that they were going to throw away food, they just kept shoveling it in like a freed hostage. Britons eat out. This story came from the Daily Mail. Britons eat out more than ever before, an average of twice a week, but varying portion sizes and hidden calories make it difficult to stay slim. The report was published in the journal Appetite. And they said, researchers said that packaging uneaten food after a meal could be an effective strategy to reduce overconsumption from large portions. I always like take a, you know, I'll always take stuff home if we don't finish it. I never just throw it away. I don't know what happens to it a lot of times when it gets home. We usually eat it. I will eat leftovers. My wife and daughter, I'm not eating that. Then why'd you bring it home? Well, I didn't want to throw it away. Well, now I have to throw it away. Or I have to eat it. And it's not stuff that I ordered.
Unless it's Thanksgiving, in which they want exclusively leftovers.
Oh, man, I went to the grocery store today. Because if you were here with us yesterday, and if not, even though we are going out for Thanksgiving, my daughter still wants leftovers. So I spent as much today to make the quote-unquote leftovers as I would if we were eating it, you know, if I was entertaining everybody. Because I had to go to the, you know, I thought maybe Monday afternoon would be a good time to go to the grocery store pre-Thanksgiving. I was wrong. The grocery store was still packed. The shelves were picked over because everybody who went grocery shopping over the weekend had taken everything. And it was just like, oh, no. But I went, I had a giant list, and I'm thinking, I'm not even technically cooking Thanksgiving dinner, but I am cooking Thanksgiving dinner. Only so my daughter can have one turkey sandwich before she goes back to New York. I should just, I don't know. But she'll be happy. That's my job, Dan, to make everybody happy. You know? So that on my deathbed, she can, between blaming me for everything else that happened, she can say, but there's that one time I came home and he made me dinner even though we weren't having Thanksgiving.
I did get a cold sandwich out of the table.
I got a cold sandwich. I did not buy the squishy bread, though. I told my wife she has to go buy the squishy bread because I can't be responsible for not having squishy enough bread. Because what's the point of having bread if it's going to be squishy? So, oh boy. But yeah, that was today I'm out there, and every man, oh man, Everybody was shopping. This is strange. If you've been to a Mariano's, I like going to Mariano's. I go to the Jewels. I go to, you know, wherever. There's a Tony's Market by me. I go wherever. Some stores have certain things that you want at the prices you want, and you just go around. I don't know. Some people only shop at one grocery store. I do not. I try to spread the wealth a little bit. All my local grocers get a little something. But at the Mariano's, I think this is at every Mariano's, but I know the one I go to. They have a bar. So there's the bar, and they always say, you know, happy hour specials, and they have wine for $3 a glass and the beer of the month. For $2, you get a pint of beer, Dan. Nice beer, you're walking through, and it's good. It's good stuff, you know. Today, the offerings for $2 were Great Lakes Christmas Ale and a Two Brothers Stout. Not bad. $2.
Hearty cold weather beers.
Sure, and you're walking around. You got your cart. You got your beer. You're having a lovely time. There was a woman at the sitting having a glass of wine, eating an entire crab leg meal. Because at Mariano's, they'll cook stuff if you buy it.
Yeah.
Well, she must have. I guess she needed some crab legs right then. She didn't have time to wait and go home and cook them there. She wasn't going to get a whole bottle of wine. That's a lot of hogwash. So she's sitting at the end of the bar in Mariano's eating these crab cakes like she was on death row. She was going at these crab legs like she had personally been assaulted by this crab and was wreaking vengeance on it. It and its entire crab family. She was going to town. There was crab juice flying, and she's got her big glass of white wine just eating these crab legs like a rat. I thought to myself, now, I got nothing against, you know, grabbing a beer or a glass of wine while you're shopping. I think it's, I like it. I think it's great. But I don't know about having an entire meal at the grocery store. It seems, I don't know what, it seems lazy. It's you know, like I'm not going to have the guy at Mariano's cook my hamburger. Because I don't have, what do you only have a hot plate at home? You can't, it's not that, cooking a steak takes like 10 minutes. It's not that hard. But, you know, crab legs, sure, you need a foil pan. You put them in there with covered up with tin foil. You cook it about 30 minutes. Not a big deal. It's not hard. It's just crazy. Boston Market, according to, makes a great turkey sandwich. Listen, I thank you. I understand. People texting in different things that I should serve. My wife and daughter have a certain fixation with this sandwich that only they can make, because it has, you know, real mayonnaise, the shredded lettuce, and the squishy bread. I don't know. I can't explain it. But listen, I got enough issues. I don't need my daughter coming home and adding to the list that I refuse to cook her some turkey. I'll cook the turkey. I don't care. Charlie wants to jump on. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, your best time to go shopping is right when you get done with work in the morning.
Yeah, if...
That, overnight.
That's true, as long as they've finished the stocking, you know?
Well, a lot of times they may not have finished the stocking and they're in the process. However, there's very few people there, and you can usually pick exactly what you need. And I'm in and out every morning. I'm overnight doing newspapers every day. So
yeah.
That's my time. The Jewels used to be 24 hours. Over here, and now they're open at like 6 in the morning. I think there's one that's at 5 a.m. So I get done, and I just go do my quick shopping then, and I'm in and out in half an hour.
Yeah, I wish I had talked to you last night. That would have been a better suggestion than waiting to go this afternoon. But I will remember that in the future. Thanks, Charlie. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Take care. Yeah, that would have come in handy. But then I wouldn't have gotten to see Crab Leg of Go-Go. You know, that woman, man, oh, man, she was like the deadliest catch on legs. She brought the entire thing to life. This woman, she had an appetite for destruction.
Hey, that's a power move, crab legs and wine in the middle of the day at the store.
That's right. You don't care. I got to, you're wiping the juice on your sleeve. Doesn't matter to me. I'm at the grocery store. Who do I have to impress? I don't have to tip a waitress. I don't have to pay the exorbitant seafood prices at a high-end restaurant. I just walked right over, and the guy, and I said to the guy at the Mariano's, cook those up for me, because I'll be at the bar. It is a, listen, it's great work if you can get it. What'd you do today? I just sat at Mariano's and ate crab legs and drank wine. Oh, man. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio at 720 WGN. Yeah, I'll sit down. I'll sit down for the final hour. Why not? Oh, goodness. Did you say, Vic, did you say there was snow? Were we getting some lake effect snow? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, I've been seeing some lake effect snow near the lake. Al, it's actually starting to taper off, but we did see some north of Chicago all the way up to Waukegan. But again, that's kind of tapered off now. We're still seeing some in Indiana, parts of Michigan. It's right. It's like light snow flurries. Nothing, no accumulation.
Nothing to panic about?
No panic. But, you know, they were expecting that to continue into the commute. We're seeing it start to taper off in the Chicago area, so we might get lucky. Because, you know, well, it doesn't take a lot to cause trouble on the roadways.
No, just a rumor of snow will cause people to go into a...
Right.
Man, oh man, people go nuts.
Yeah, and so we're not... See, it's kind of... at this moment, kind of staying over the lake, as like I said earlier, we were seeing it to kind of from Oak Park all the way up to near the Wisconsin state line, those areas along the lake. But again, the snow is kind of pushed off over the lake now.
Well, that is good news because, like you said, it doesn't take much to throw everything into a tizzy. But Mary will be watching the roads all morning. And,
yep.
You guys will be watching the weather, everything else, and I'll be watching the inside of my eyelids. It's going to work out perfectly for all of us. Now, there's debates all the time about when kids should get phones. I am not a big proponent of young kids having telephones. I understand the argument that we must keep in touch with our children at all time. But then I remember, well, I was a child, and my parents had no idea what I was doing. And I had a child, and she didn't have a phone until she was in high school. And she survived just fine because I would say, where are you going? And she would tell me. And then if she was going somewhere, I would have her call, that kind of thing. But I'm not here to tell you how to parent. You want to give your kids phones, that's fine. However, you know, all the experts are saying we got to cut down on screen time. So some experts are saying that perhaps instead of getting your child a smartphone, you should get them a flip phone. The old school. I loved my Motorola Razr flip phone. I loved it. It was a black Razr, and I had back in black as my ringtone, and it was sweet. And my wife had the pink one. My daughter, we all had the flip phones. Oh, man, I love the flip phones. But then you can't still have a flip phone as a grown man. You have to evolve. The smartphone that now is ubiquitous. Everybody's got it. And you're looking at the screen all the time and you're checking, oh, I got to check Twitter. I got to check Facebook. I got to check my email. I got to blah, 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 blah. No. Dan's reaching into his pocket. He's going to pull out one of those big Radar O'Reilly sack phones. Do you still have the big brick phone, Dan, in your car? Is that what you got? The giant brick?
The one that you have to carry around?
Yes.
It's got like the shoulder strap on there.
Oh, man, it's a big phone.
No,
big
just,
phone
for you reminded me that I have to charge my phone.
I was going to say that used to be a selling point. It's got a handy shoulder strap that you can carry the mobile pack around with you.
Yes, remember when you would have the phone was the size of a briefcase.
My first mobile phone I put in a pickup truck that I bought, and it had a big cord. And the cord was connected to a mobile pack that you plugged into the cigarette lighter to charge. And then, you know, it was mobile because you could take it out of your vehicle.
Really?
And it was a mobile pack. Yeah.
Wow.
Come a long way.
Yes, we have. I never had one with the pack, the mobile pack. I remember my first one being not the big brick one, but not a whole lot smaller. But you could, you really couldn't put it in your pocket. It was giant. That's why I like the Razr, the flip phone. Man, it was like the size of a business card case. Slide it in and out. And you may be saying to yourself, Brian, that's all well and good. You know, live in the past with your Motorola flip phone. But why should we, in 2018, give our children flip phones? Why should we give them outdated technology? Well, because really all you need to do is, you know, stay in touch with them. So here are 10 reasons, according to Becky Worley, who is the technology correspondent for Good Morning America. 10 reasons to get a flip phone instead of a smartphone for your child. 1, communications and safety are the reasons most parents get their child a phone anyway. Yes, so flip phones are outstanding for making phone calls, which is really all you need the kids to do. And you can text, but the numeric texting, remember having to do that? Having to text where you press a number 3 times to get to a letter.
Yeah, it's like a 20-minute exercise.
Oh, my goodness. Took forever. But you can still do it if you really want to, if you really want to text. And if all you're doing, if you have a middle schooler or even a freshman, sophomore in high school, and all you want is to be able to them to call you to pick them up after practice or you to call them to say, hey, where are you? That's fine. 2, your children will not get sucked into the vortex of games, social media, and group chat apps, which is a horrible vortex. I'm sucked into that vortex. We all are, aren't we? If you have the smartphone, how do you suffer from what I do, Dan and Vic and anybody else, that I never used to carry a phone. I was fine. Now if I leave the house and I realize I don't have my phone, it's like I've been sent to Siberia. How will I know what's going on? I don't know.
I think it's the fear of when you leave the house without your phone, it's the fear of you're now reliant on the information that is logged into your brain. There's no other information available to you. That's it. You are on your own.
Well,
right? Because if you have a smartphone, you're practically a genius. It's at the tip of your fingers.
Sure.
You know, any information you want.
I'm not getting into a lot of trivia contests when I leave the house.
No, but to get around, to navigate, if there's any things you need to know immediately happening around you. Right.
Well, I could turn on WGN and get all the stuff that matters all the time, right? That's what we tell people. Are we lying? I hope we're not lying.
If you're out and about, how are you going to do that?
Well, I'm in my car, or I'm walking. Here's the thing. I went a lot of years blissfully unaware until I would get into somewhere where I could get my information. I would walk to where information was, or I would drive to where information was, listening to the radio. And, now in my advanced years, I have to make lists anyway when I'm going to the store, so I don't need to have my phone to call home. And sometimes it's nice to not be in contact with people.
Absolutely. I was going to say that fear that I spoke of, it's not a real thing. Because if you leave without your phone, you end up being fine.
Of course you do. No, of course you do. We're all going to survive. I can survive without checking Instagram. You know? Oh, who liked my post? I can survive without, seeing my email for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a day. I don't need to take another selfie. Do you have your phone on you all the time, Dan?
Yeah.
Well, you're a hotshot producer. You got to be producing.
Well, part of that is it's kind of like that anxiety comes from it's always an excuse to look busy. Like if I'm standing in line at, to get food or something,
right,
or eating my ramen by myself.
Oh, that place sounds great.
It's, what am I supposed to do? Just look around and stare at the backs of other people? Like,
what am I supposed to do?
You need something to do. It's like
try it as an exercise.
I should.
Yes, observe.
You will feel odd, I'm sure.
Observe the human condition.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff going on outside your screen.
You ever notice when you get in an elevator with 3-4 other people, immediately when that door shuts, everybody pulls it out.
Yeah.
Do not want to talk to this human being next
God
to me.
God forbid I make eye contact. I'm like a dog. I sense aggression.
It's like acting for the first time. Like, yeah, I never know what to do with my hands.
Right. Easy, Ricky Bobby. Bring them back down. Drop them down. So that's 2. You don't want to get sucked into the vortex. They are cheap. Many start at $25. Manufacturers like Nokia, LG, and Kyocera are predominant manufacturers of flip phones. Technically, they are called feature phones because many of them don't flip. Well, that's a mistake. You don't need an expensive data plan. Basic phone plans can be as little as $15 a month for talk and text. These plans can be found. The battery life. Some phones can keep a battery charge for a week. Nice. We keep forgetting that they play cool ringtones. They're almost indestructible. Shattering a screen on a feature phone is a lot harder than on a smartphone. That's true. I'm going to call it a flip phone. I'm not getting sucked into the vortex of calling it a feature phone. You know, the marketing people at the phone company can't stop me. I'll give you the rest of this list after this. If you want to jump, does this sound like something your kids would go for? Of course it should, because you know, you're the parent. But have you thought about this? Have you looked into this? I'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200, because I don't think we need to give kids access to everything in the world in the palm of their hand at a young age. Let's do this, then there's more. Talking about the top 10 reasons you should get your kid a flip phone or a feature phone rather than a smartphone. This according to ABC News and Good Morning America. Julia wants to weigh in on this. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Thanks.
My call. I always love when you're on, and I hope we could get you on more often, because it's just a real Thanksgiving treat having you on.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So I wanted to say I agree with you. Kids should not have cell phones, in my opinion. I think as parents, we need to protect our kids, and I think that that's a good way to protect your kids by not having them be access to all kinds of strangers, and it's important. I have friends, actually, who are adults, and they don't use, like, a regular phone. They use a flip phone because they just don't want to get attached to the internet. They don't want to be addicted, and so that's their way of kind of being a role model to their kids, even. They don't even have, you know, a regular phone. They have a flip phone, and it works just fine.
Yeah, if really all you're wanting to do is get in touch with people, then by all means, all you need to do is have the feature phone or the flip phone to make those calls. And you're right, and Julia, there's people who get we get addicted to this little screen in our pocket. We've referenced different things where we have to see it all the time. But I don't think our kids really need to do it. I appreciate the call, Julia. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thanks. Bye bye. Yeah, I don't. Yes, Dan.
Can I just tell you my number one beef with cell phones of all kinds is that they feed back on the air.
Yes, that right. That's what's happening. Is that why we're having trouble? Because I'm hearing all sorts of weirdness on my in my thing. Give me your top five. You didn't need to just give me the one, but that's it. You think it's the phone that's feeding back, that's circling back in? I don't know. All right, here's some more. The final reason. So we talked about the child not getting sucked in. You could just the price, the battery life. They're almost indestructible. Number seven, less texting of pictures, and we know that is troublesome for some young people. No matter what kind of pic they are sending. Not always the best decisions being made by our youths and our adults too. Anthony Weiner, I'm looking at you. Because the screens are smaller and the cameras are lower resolution, texting pictures is less appealing. Yeah, I remember that my old phone had a camera on there. I don't think I ever took a picture with it because what were they, like, one pixel? They were not good cameras back then. Hey, look, I took a picture of the sunset. Screen's just a red blob. I don't know. That doesn't look not quite as good. I will say it's one of the top reasons that I would want to keep a smartphone on me. I like having the camera, especially now as cameras have evolved on the phones. You don't have to, you know, unless you're a photographer or somebody, and that's, you know, either your job or your passion, you don't need to take a camera with you everywhere because you have one. And as these cameras have evolved on the phones, the picture quality is better than some of the some of the regular cameras that you would buy and carry around. So I remember my daughter last year, she got a new phone and it had the portrait mode on there. She took a couple pictures. I was like, wow.
Oh, yeah. You could take some real good looking pictures on those.
It's amazing. Well, if you give your kid a smartphone, they're just going to do the basic app access. Newer phones like the Nokia 8110 work with basic apps. From the Kios App Store, the two apps that they can use that caught the attention of this reporter, Google Voice Speech to Text app that could help dictating text, and Google Maps. So that's good. GPS tracking. Oh, you can track your GPS phone. Not yours, but your child. So they add family mapping features for some carriers. And finally, peace of mind. You can communicate with your child, but you don't have to open the Pandora's box of a device that adults even have trouble handling responsibly. So we had a Pandora's box and a Vortex. That makes you, I don't even, Dan, come in here and take this thing away from me. I don't, it's scary now. It's a Pandora's box and a vortex of shame. So there you go. Maybe if your kid is hollering for a phone for Christmas or the holidays, you go, all right, I'll get you a phone. Give them one of these, see what they do. Well, you said, young Bobby, that all you wanted the phone for was so you could call home and tell mom and dad where you were. Eh, I was lying. I wanted to get it so I could go on Facebook and, you know, Snapchat. And Snapchat's the one that disappears. I don't do that. Dan, I know you like a good story about Canadians getting drunk, as do I.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't like a good drunk Canadian story? And when you throw in Canadians, drunkenness, and curling, it's the trifecta of a perfect story.
I am on board.
I figured you would be. Back in 2015, world champion curler Randy Ferbey bemoaned the sober-minded ways of the sport's modern era. Oh, he's one of the, back in my day, and that's basically what he said. Back in my day, you'd go curl your game, then go sit and visit with people, have a bunch of beers, and stay up till midnight. Unfortunately, quote, teams don't do that no more. Well, Ferbey, guess what? They're doing it now. On Sunday afternoon, the curling foursome of Jamie Coe, Ryan Fry, Chris Scheel, and DJ Kidby, oh, he's my favorite curler, DJ Kidby, they got kicked out of the Red Deer Curling Classic in Alberta because they were, quote, extremely drunk. It seems like a sport you could do extremely drunk.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to be pretty drunk to be too drunk to curl.
Yeah, because curling lends itself, I would think, to being drunk. Because you're just pushing a big rock down ice with a broom. This is the facility manager said this. They went out to curl, and they were extremely drunk and breaking brooms and swearing and just unacceptable behavior, yeah, that nobody wants to hear or watch or listen to, and that was just enough was enough. So they tossed them. There was damage in the locker room. Other teams were complaining about their stuff being kicked around. I want to party with these curlers. So at the end of the day, it was like, all right, that's enough of this gong show. The committee collectively decided that we needed to remove them from the spiel for the year. What happens down the road? So they've been suspended for a year. That's a Bonspiel is curling lingo for tournament, Dan. Who says I don't give out important information? People learning stuff here. So according to a sign posted in the arena, Coe's squad was disqualified. It had to forfeit its final match. Just one to end. So here's this is how they described it. This is how the yesterday, they got here at about 11 o'clock, the commentator said. They were sitting over there drinking about 30 or 40 empty bottles of beer, and they were doing shots. Come on now. Sounds fun. They were out there on the ice, completely drunk, and played kicking rocks, throwing brooms. They got disqualified. Other teams were saying, we do not want to even play here anymore if they're allowed. So they said, Team Co disqualified, and they're never allowed to play here again. Kids, let that be a lesson to you. For the young curlers who are listening this morning, don't get too hammered because you'll get thrown out of your Bonspiel forever. Then you can't throw your rock. Have you ever curled? I want to curl.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
It does look like fun.
Just don't get belligerent, I guess.
No, listen, craft your buzz. Don't let your curling buzz craft you. You can drink after, like the world champion curler said. You do your game, then you go have your beers and visit. You don't do that pre-game. When I was young, I'll wrap this up, we lived about three blocks from an ice rink, and my mom used to go curl, which is hard to believe now that she's 80 and, you know, has trouble moving around, but she used to go curl. It looks like fun. A guy I know, do you remember Dan Dibert, used to work here?
Yeah.
He curls. He and his wife joined, they live in Wisconsin now, they're in some curling club.
Huh.
It looks fun. I don't know if it'd be hard on your knees, though. But I would like to slide a big rock down the ice. All right, let's do this. Then it'll be news time. And then the final half hour comes. Yeah, kicking it into hyperdrive for the final 30 minutes of the big broadcast. Getting a lot of pushback on the phones, as you can imagine. People texting in. Which they are doing on their smartphone. Let's see. I'd be lost without my phone. I don't even remember my own phone number. That from the 870. Flip phone with slide-out keyboard. Then you can text and call. Oh, I didn't know that was a thing. Was that an option to have a slide-out keyboard? From the 630, Brian, I'm listening to you on Simple Radio app and messaging you right now on my Android phone. Thank you. I'm not saying that we don't need smartphones. I'm just saying that young kids, it makes sense to go with just if the whole reason that you are saying that you want your kid who's in sixth grade or fifth grade or whatever to have a phone is that so you can stay in contact with them, then a simple feature phone would make sense. If you just want your kid to have the smartphone, then say that. It's okay. I'm not here to judge. I kind of am. But do what you want. But don't, an adult can do whatever they want. It's the kids. Some carriers don't have flip phones anymore. U.S. Cellular for one. That from the 815. Here's good news, Dan. They have curling at Kaiser Tiger on Randolph Street. Maybe that's what we need to do.
Yeah, I knew there was some place around here that offered it.
Yeah, we got to do a little curling. Start a station curling team. Get some jazzy curling jerseys. Do they have to wear? Do they wear special shoes? Special curling shoes?
Yeah, I think there are.
Yeah, you get it. Oh man, that'd be fun.
Because you got to be able to
get the big stones. That'd be fun. You know, they do it. They do all sorts of crazy outings here. Maybe we can get it. Be part of that. Get the curling.
I feel like they did curling here once.
Did they really?
Like maybe a couple of years ago at this point. But
I didn't hear about that. There are special curling shoes. They're over $100. Wow.
It's like a pair of bowling shoes will cost you.
Yeah, a good pair of bowling shoes. Somebody very upset that the curlers got thrown out for being drunk. They man, oh man. I think they're trying to spell blasphemers. So here's something from the 847. You can't buy your kids a flip phone. I was a teacher. Other kids would give them a hard time, especially junior high and high school. They'd be made fun of. Well, they shouldn't have their phones out at school anyway. I mean, I know the minute they get off campus, they're, pulling their phones out. But listen, I don't think we always have to keep up with the Joneses. Just because your kid's going to get... Listen, I don't want my kid to get made fun of, But I also, you're the parent, and you can say, hey, listen, this is the phone you're getting. This is why you're getting this phone. People who make fun of you are jerks. Punch them in the throat and move on. That's probably bad parental advice. But I never said I was a great parent. I said I'm an okay parent. Brian, this was a good point from the article you brought up, and you're calling your kid out, and they're getting what they need, and it's what the parents and kids should have, a line of communication between the parents and the kids. Nice job. Well, thank you very much. Look at that. Every once in a while, Dan, I make a good point, at least to one person. I try to narrowcast. A lot of broadcasters, they broadcast. They try to get their point across to a lot of people. I'd probably be as effective as if I just walked down the street and talked to people one at a time, except then they'd call the cops because I was harassing them. This guy keeps following me for 4 hours.
He won't stop talking about flip phones.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Nonstop. What is it? What is he? It comes out like there's a big scandal that comes out. With the major investor in flip phones. Like it's very Trumpian in its ways. I've got all sorts of things. I am beginning to get hungry. Not only because of the hour, but because you keep thinking about Thanksgiving. We're telling people have a great Thanksgiving, and that's all about food. So. A lot of fast food places, a lot of chains, try to combine your entire Thanksgiving meal on a sandwich. You ever had one of those with the cranberry and the stuffing and the turkey and the whole deal?
No, I've always wanted to find a place with like a real good one.
There's some years ago, Baker Square used to make one, and I only had it once, and it made such an impression on me that every year around the holidays, I would try to go back and find this sandwich, and it did not work. I had one. We had a guest in on the Sunday show from Goddess and the Grocer. And they have a sandwich at their place. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's the Pilgrim or something. And it is that sandwich. It's a beautiful, a hearty bread, not the squishy bread.
No squishy bread.
No, it's a hearty wheat bread.
Come correct.
Delicious. You darn right, you got to come correct when you're making a sandwich. You bring that thick bread, that sturdy bread. It's got fresh sliced turkey, roast turkey, dressing, cranberries, and I think there's a little bit of mayo on there. And it comes with a side of gravy to dip it in, and it is phenomenal. So there, if you're looking for a recommendation, you just got one. And I am not a stockholder. I have nothing to gain from telling you to have this sandwich, other than I'm telling people if you're looking for a Thanksgiving on a sandwich, that's the way to go. But I also found some reviews of some other sandwiches. Now, one of these places, I will not read it because we don't have it in this area. This is from a Pittsburgh paper. But Arby's, we all have. Arby's. I haven't been to an Arby's in a long time.
No.
Do you like I got nothing against an Arby's. Nice beef and cheddar. Who doesn't like a beef and cheddar? Everybody. But they make the gobbler. It is it's a two-handed, it's a big one. Fried turkey breast, Swiss cheese, pepper bacon, cranberries, lettuce, and tomatoes on honey wheat bread. It's available at select Arby's through December 23rd, $7. That's your price tag. Now, they break it down pros, cons, and Thanksgivingness. Serious substantial sandwich. The ads are right. They have the meats. Turkey is first roasted, then fried. See, right there you lose me. But I'll continue. There's bacon. A lot of bacon, they say. If you finish it in one sitting, you're probably going to need to loosen your belt a notch or two. Perfect. It's not really a con, but it tastes like any other sandwich at Arby's. Substantial. It's warm and gooey, but not soggy. It's good in a fast foodish way. They give it three turkeys for their Thanksgivingness. Not a lot of holiday spirit going on with the gobbler, they say. Lettuce and tomato are a nice touch. No such thing as too much bacon, but it's not going to make you think of a Macy's parade or the turkey bowl. See, that's what you worry. You got to have, if you're going to have a Thanksgiving sandwich, it's got to have, I still call it dressing. Dressing. It's got to have that, and it's got to have cranberries.
Right.
Or it's not, it's just, then it's just a turkey and bacon sandwich. Swiss cheese, I love Swiss cheese. Doesn't go on the Thanksgiving sandwich. All right, how about Denny's? They have the holiday turkey melt. I don't know why. As I'm hungry, somebody, the 630, hang on. They texted in, we got that sandwich on this list. So it's served on grilled potato bread. Crispy golden brown sandwich features carved turkey breast topped with savory stuffing. Yes, Swiss cheese, and its new cranberry honey mustard sauce. Available through January 8th, $9.50 for this sandwich. A lot of turkey on the sandwich. Good turkey, they say, also layered properly. Melted Swiss cheese, everything good. Says you probably don't expect Swiss cheese on a sandwich. Who just said that? Me. I'm like, I know things. Why am I getting so worked up over a description of a sandwich? Because it's 4:45, I need breakfast, and I'm a little bit cranky. I could be getting hangry, Dan.
Entering the hangry, area code of hangry?
I could be getting hangry. I just passed the city limit sign for hangry. Population, me. The cranberry flavor in the honey mustard sauce is subtle that you might not even notice it. Again, you got to have a lot of cranberries.
It's points off, yeah.
They give this five turkeys on the flavor scale and four turkeys on the Thanksgivingness.
What is the scale? Because this feels pretty arbitrary. How many turkeys is the maximum?
I think five turkeys is the max.
Okay.
So on flavor, it gets full five turkeys. Feels like you're eating in a restaurant, cut above fast food. And a winner in the flavor category. So there you go. Five turkeys. And now we get to the one that the texter texted in about, the Starbucks Holiday Turkey and Stuffing Panini. I like the name. It's got the two of the three things you need. Sliced turkey breast, cranberry herb stuffing, and savory turkey gravy. It's shrink wrapped in the cooler case, Dan. If you go in to get yourself a latte, you can grab yourself it shrink wrapped right in there. $6.75 while supplies last. That's never good. I don't want the last one. Well, we made this back in November. This was the end of the supply. Turkey comes in thick slices. Stuffing actually tastes homemade. Gravy is pretty good. Ladled on judiciously. The cons is it's not fresh. Has to be heated up and crisped up in a combination microwave convection oven. You have that at home? combination microwave and convection oven?
No.
Not me either. That sounds like a hassle. Maybe they could heat it up for you. Melt the shrink wrap right onto it. It got 4 turkeys on the flavor scale and 4 turkeys on the Thanksgivingness. This, for their money, it says this one hit the sweet spot. Nice, well-made sandwich, and in one bite you'll be visited by the ghosts of Thanksgiving past. Just the right amount of taste and nostalgia. There you go. So there, now you can, now you know. You can go to Goddess in the Grocery and get one. You can go to Starbucks and get one, or you can go to Arby's. Get one. There you go, Dan. It's a, you gotta help people out, because, you know, somebody's not going to take all the time to cook. All right, back to the phones. People still very upset about the phone. My kids have tablets and they have Wi-Fi at school. And they connect. They contact us on Hangouts. The curlers that got kicked out are semi-pro. The events would be $30,000 events. Oh, that's from Canadian Bill. Thank you, Canadian Bill. La 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 la. Oh, here's the show. Long a minute. Oh, my son gave my grandson of 12 years old a smartphone. However, he has parental restrictions on the phone. My son receives info about the sites he goes on. Also, he has how long he can be on the phone. In today's world, I think it's really a safety factor. Admittedly, I too was reluctant, but what do you do? Yeah, exactly. Yep, what do you do? Oh, we're getting more sandwich. That's why I love it. I love talking to you people because you'll always come up with different suggestions. Let's take a break, and we'll get to those calls and so much more in the final few minutes of the broadcast. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, and for Nick, Nick will be back next week. He is taking a little bit of a vacation, which is fine. We were talking about these reviews of these Thanksgiving sandwiches from Arby's, Denny's, and Starbucks, and we have Noel. He wants to jump in with another one. Hi, Noel. Noel.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm well.
It's Noel, yeah. I'm good. How about yourself?
Dandy. All this sandwich talk is getting me a little hangry. I got to be honest.
Yeah, right. I'm about there with you. I got up early to Uber for a couple hours before I go to work, and here we go. You're talking about sandwiches. I hate you.
Wow, that turned ugly really fast.
So I was calling you the other day. Potbelly announced a new sandwich. And my husband and I went and tried it, and oh my God, I've been craving it ever since.
What is it?
They have a turducken sandwich.
Oh. Now, I've never had turducken. I've heard of it. Of course, okay. I know what it is, but
this is amazing. It's got the turkey, the duck, and the chicken, and they're like big chunks. They're not like shaved, you know, meat.
Right.
It's got a cornbread stuffing. Which is amazing. It's got like a honey cranberry sauce. It has cheddar cheese, which is so subtle, you don't even really realize it's on there. It's got mayo, and it's got lettuce and tomato, which I don't think you need on a turkey sandwich, on a holiday sandwich, but that's okay.
I don't think so either.
You know. So, you know, and then it's got like a mayo on it, and it's on like a crunchy white bread. It was amazing.
Really?
Amazing.
What did it run you?
I think it was, I'm thinking it was $30, 2 sandwiches and 2 soups.
Okay.
So, for $30, so.
All right, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
And it was.
And they were huge. He had the big sandwiches. They were the big sandwiches, so.
Oh, okay, yeah, because they do different sizes. So, the turducken sandwich at Potbelly. What time do they open? I'm getting hungry. Are they open at 5 a.m.? I don't think they open this early.
Well, not by me.
not by me either. Well, Noel, thank you for the tip.
That's lunch.
I'm sorry to have gotten you so hungry and cranky at this time of the morning. That was not my intent.
That's okay. Starbucks is open. I'll go get one of their holiday paninis to tide me over.
Yeah, tell them to heat it up for you, and you're good to go.
Yeah, and you know, you were talking about how it's while supplies last. The Starbucks, I love that sandwich. They've had it for a couple years now. The reason is each store only gets a couple of them every day.
Oh, really?
Because they want them to stay fresh.
Oh.
So, like, my Starbucks only gets, out in Shorewood, they only get 3.
That doesn't seem like a lot.
No. So, at 4:30, if I'm early enough, I get one.
All right. Well, good luck. Get out there and drive carefully before work.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving.
And same to you, Noelle. Thanks for the call. Noelle was hungry. Dan, see, she was hangry, too. She's out driving around. We start talking about sandwiches, get everybody all worked up. I don't know why we did that.
I'm looking at the picture of that turducken sandwich. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, a turducken. I've never had turducken. It sounds unnatural. It sounds like an abomination against the Lord. It just seems, you shouldn't jam one animal into another animal into another animal. It just seems weird to me. I'm sure it's tasty.
It is a sign of man's arrogance.
Yes, of course. You know what? I'm so wealthy, I can't. A regular turkey means nothing to me. Give me a duck. Jam it right in there. Nope. Still not opulent enough for me. Give me a chicken.
Just makes me think of John Madden.
Why did he do it? Was he the big turducken guy?
Yeah.
He and Emeril. Was Madden the first one I heard talk about turducken, or was it Emeril? Either one. You put it nicely. Man's arrogance. Too much. I found these five common Thanksgiving questions. We'll have time for one or two. Again, remember yesterday we were talking about what people were Googling for Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving terms that state were Googling, and we laughed and laughed and laughed because people were texting or Googling when is Thanksgiving and what is Thanksgiving. So, according to the Tribune, here are some answers to the most common Thanksgiving questions. When is Thanksgiving? Yes, this really was the most searched for question. Thanksgiving falls on the fourth Thursday of November every year. So today it is November 22nd. So this is all from Google Analytics, too. When was the first Thanksgiving? November 1621. After the colonists had their first successful corn harvest, the colony's governor organized a celebratory feast and invited the Wampanoag chief and his tribe. Festival lasted 3 days, but did not become an annual holiday at that point. Was turkey on the menu back at the first Thanksgiving, Dan? Yes or no?
I'm going to go with, the obvious answer would be yes, so I'm going to say no.
Oh, you are correct. No. Few records of the actual menu exist, but historians say both parties contributed to the meal. The Wampanoag people brought 5 deer, and the colonists hunted for local fowl, including swans. Ooh, imagine if you had to. I don't know if I could eat a swan. Well, if I'm a colonist back then, I'll eat whatever I can catch. They also provided seal, lobster, and venison. And a woman at the bar was eating crab legs. All part of the first Thanksgiving. There were likely no desserts, since the pilgrims had no oven and a dwindling sugar supply. Let's see. Bonus food findings. According to a Google search data, most searched for recipes include turkey stuffing, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, and pumpkin pie. Isn't it strange that Thanksgiving we make dishes that we don't eat the rest of the year? You know, most people aren't going to be making sweet potato casserole at other holidays. Maybe Christmas, but not really. Thanksgiving is you pull out all the stops. You make things once a year, which I find a little sad because I like a good roast turkey dinner, you know, on a random Sunday in March. Guess you could still do it. Nothing against it. This America, you can eat what you want. I'm not the boss of you. Why do we even celebrate Thanksgiving? It's all thanks to a woman. Hello. Sarah Josepha Hale, editor in an influential women's magazine, read about the 1621 feast and was determined to make the occasion an annual national holiday. Hale lobbied to get President Abraham Lincoln on board, and in 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, Lincoln set Thanksgiving to be celebrated as a national holiday on the fourth Thursday of November every year. And now you know, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. And you'll know the rest of the story because coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.